The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who's got the wiener schnitzel? Let's see, next we got roast beef au jus. Who's got the roast beef au jus? Last but not least, foot long. Who's got the foot long?
PFW in Progress.
Okay, gang, you know the rule. No humping, no pushing, no sniffing hiding.
With Fred Kirsch.
Nur host, a nur host. Host
annual.
An annual meeting of
the big one. International Preservation Society tomorrow night.
Paul Perillo.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Don't you go dying on me.
And Andy. And Andy?
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
I beg your pardon?
The owls. They're beautiful.
Andy Hart.
Must have been following us for weeks.
Why is that?
How the hell did they know that I got gas?
Eric Scalavino.
I can't feel my big fingers anymore. They're numb.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? You've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
Yeah. We're in the Rockies.
For now, anyway.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah! PFW in Progress.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio or something?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress, where the flame burns bright this offseason, despite all the lockout. We're still here, as we always are, every Tuesday and Thursday until 2 o'clock, talking Patriots football, whatever else is on the table. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. We got a lot to talk about. Still comments coming in from the Andy debacle last week. So we'll talk about that. Him and Lindsay.
Not getting any more positive either.
There has been.
Whoa, what the?
I have to admit, there's
that guy again.
Guacamole in the tailpipe?
I don't mean to do
there
that.
Has been some support from Andy trying to kind of rationalize.
Yeah, but not from anybody rational.
No, but they have tried to, you know, rationalize what happened last week.
A little bit of breaking news, Freddie. Breaking to me anyway.
Roger Clemens?
Yeah, the Clemens trial.
Oh, what happened?
Mistrial.
Judge declared a mistrial.
Is that right?
Because the government effed up.
Really?
When the judge tells you something is inadmissible, you can't.
When the judge tells you?
Admiss it.
Well, you know what? I think.
You know what I meant.
I think Clemens is
don't
an
start,
idiot.
Don't start Scalavino.
Getting mad already.
I think Clemens is an
that's
idiot.
Part of,
that, but
that's
I think,
part of that great show that he had on Thursday.
I'll just.
Go ahead.
I think Clemens is an idiot, and he did lie, I think. But the bigger thing is they just need to clean up that whole thing, and it's not just Roger Clemens. They were all taking it, weren't they?
Yeah, but that's not what he's in trouble for.
Perjury trial.
Lying.
To Congress.
To Congress.
Not to you.
No, I know.
Me.
I do solemnly swear to tell
but,
the truth.
But I think
probably be the right hand.
It's kind of a serious thing.
And holding my phone.
That's why he got the mistrial. He was holding up his left hand.
But aren't you bored at this point with the whole?
Yes.
Well, I've moved on.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
I have no interest in the entire topic, and I have no interest in any of these trials.
But right. And the argument that they're wasting money over something that's kind of nothing only gets worse when you have people in place that don't know the rules. Apparently, right. Lawyers weren't listening, or I mean, not only did they waste money pursuing it, they wasted money. They're stupid.
Yeah, they admitted it.
Right. All right. So we're probably not going to talk about the Roger Clemens trial.
Good.
No, I just saw
good.
That.
Let's talk
breaking
about this
news.
Brandon Spikes tweet.
And I don't even know if it's
well.
Did
what
you
does
get
it
one?
Say?
Well, it's a different one that made me laugh for some reason. Spikes retweeted a tweet from some guy who said, Spikes, hey, Brandon, I'm a huge fan and played at Hickory High against you from 01 to 05. That's 5 years. Which guy was out of the high school for 5 years, Spikes or are they both? Is that how Florida football works?
Maybe that's why they're so good.
But we
well,
have,
but they have
Eric
grade.
Wants to talk
they
about
have eighth
some
grade down there. So that's probably what he was talking
nah,
about.
That's not
could
right.
Could be.
High school's 4 years.
Fred Taylor's son played in the eighth grade.
What do you like to call them? Your first?
Oh, just the first and second formers and third through sixth.
Third formers. And
we're going to get into that now?
No, we're going to get into Eric.
Really? 2 minutes into the show?
No, relax.
Eric, what's he talking about?
What?
Eric, the National Enquirer Scalavino has something he'd like to talk about.
No.
He actually believes Hitler's alive in the Andes.
No. Elvis is alive somewhere down south. Yeah. Too, right? No, there was a series of tweets that came to our attention yesterday involving Brandon Spikes, and we kind of talked it over and wanted to we kind of felt there might be something to it, but we weren't sure because it wasn't a verified account. It seemed to be authentic, so we just put it out there on the blog and on Twitter that there was something
right.
That was being said in relation to someone who was believed to be Brandon Spikes, that he was injured, allegedly, playing a pickup basketball game. And it got picked up eventually by Pro Football Talk, who talked to Spikes' agent,
Drew Rosenhaus.
Yeah. One of the items in one of the tweets was that he was going to get an MRI. Rosenhaus disputed that and said that his client was in, quote, perfect health.
Right.
I'm inclined to believe the first half of that he didn't get an MRI, but I'm not inclined to believe the second half, just based on the series of items that were tweeted out there.
We talked about it yesterday, and we talked about it today, and this whole Twitter thing. And, I mean, these players just have to know that
they have no self-control when
they tweet
comes to these
stuff
things.
Out, it's no different than if they're standing in the locker room during
and
talking during
media out loud.
Time.
Yeah.
It's no different.
Right.
You know, and the fact that a lot of beat writers were off yesterday on vacation doesn't mean that
Slackers. It's
not out there. So, you know, puts us in a tough position because, you know, here we are thinking, well, Brandon Spikes said it.
Well, the other thing, too, is that, you know, we're still in the lockout, as you mentioned.
Right.
And there's been a dearth of actual football on-field news to report about and to talk about. And, you know, people have been putting lists out. We're part of that, too. We've been putting lists together and trying to do
making
anything to
news.
Make up content.
Right, sure.
Now, here was something that appeared to be actually relevant on-field news regarding a member of this team, possibly.
Right.
We still don't know how much of it is true or not. But so we figured let's put that out there. At least there's something newsworthy
right.
to discuss,
well,
potentially.
You know, it's no different in my mind than if John Elway tweets something. Or Jim Irsay
mm-hmm.
tweets something.
Right.
I mean, they're saying it.
That is, in
I guess, they
right.
mean it to be heard because it's on Twitter.
Right.
It's the new way of
making a statement,
and that's what the players supposedly like about it. It gives them direct interaction with followers, fans,
right.
their public.
Message doesn't get jumbled in any
right.
way.
So
that's what the players.
Yeah, I want to bring the message. BSpikes55 is the account on Twitter. Has somewhere in the range of 500 and something followers. Not a huge account. But others
just started
have
it, right?
interacted. Yeah, it's less than a week
yeah.
that he's been on Twitter and tweeting. And the other night, he tweeted, this is a day plus ago, just finished working out with
DDF baby.
About to go play on Hardwood. Pow, pow.
He hands a lot of his things with pow, pow. Like he's punching you in the face.
Is that the guy from... the commercials there, the planet, what's the
oh,
the gin that
yeah.
you think is...
Pow, pow, pow,
maybe.
Pow,
pow, pow, pow.
Maybe.
That's become a little
the Fred
bit...
Kirsch, with the
I was thinking the old
culture
Batman.
Kind
I was
of
thinking
thing.
Like, pow, schmack, the little graphics.
No, I would bet anything it's that. That's kind of becoming one of those little slang sort of entering the vernacular.
Mm. Oh, yeah?
Well, then this DDF baby tweeted that basically he got
Who's
hurt.
Who's a woman, by
yeah,
the way.
Going to get... waiting for him to get in the car to go get MRI, didn't know how bad it was.
Well, there were a couple of others before that, too.
Right, but...
Where he, looks like Spikes busted his ass, and then the next one was, now he ain't getting up, and then
right.
then there was,
then that.
Going to take him for an MRI.
After that, Spikes then tweets, please, oh, please, don't be broke. #SMH, which is shaking my head. Then after that, his next tweet is, what?
Bunch
five
of
exclamation
points.
OMG, why me? Frown face. SMHHH should have been smarter. Pow, pow, pow to my face.
Yeah.
I don't know why some people wouldn't consider this a legitimate source. Pow, pow, pow. So, I mean, that
Yeah.
And then there's tweets from others to him
saying,
you best not be injured from B-ball, SMH, SMH2. Which I still am struggling.
Well, but. I think in quotes, where the quotes end, the person tweeting to him put shaking my head, and he replied shaking my head too.
And then he replied, guess you didn't watch too much Pats football last year, bruh. I'll def be where I was last year.
Watching from the sideline.
Sounds like he got a scare based on all this. Thought it was broken. Maybe sprained an ankle, whatever. But.
And then a friend of his apparently died because there were multiple tweets in there about, you know, I'm dealing with this, and then could my week get
his
any worse? And so there was a lot of stuff going on with him, and then he's like, I heard shopping's therapeutic, so he was just telling people he was going shopping because of his bad week. So something clearly happened.
But he got a scare.
And we just don't know the extent of it.
Right.
And he seems to be in decent spirits about the injury, so maybe it's nothing long term. We just don't know. He's not in perfect health, though, as Drew Rosenhaus claimed.
So, anyway, it just gets back to the whole Twitter thing. These players have to be careful. I mean, the last thing you want on this team, on the Patriots, is to be giving out that type of information.
Right. Especially if you already have two strikes against you.
Right.
Considering his issue last year with the videotape and then the suspension.
And then the suspension at the end of the year.
Right. So, anyway, that's what happened yesterday. And, you know, got a good amount of page views on Patriots.com.
Got a nice bounce out of it.
That's not why we did it, though.
No, it's not. No, it's not at all.
Yeah. We are a news-gathering organization.
Well, you know. Well,
plus, like you said, the whole Twitter thing nowadays, there's still a gray area there about whether or not it's actually out there or not. But my feeling is it's become so prevalent, especially among athletes, that it's their new form of communication. It's as, like you said, Fred, it's equivalent to talking to one of us in the locker room.
Right.
It's no different now.
It really, and they
because they all follow. There's at least five beat writers following you if you're a player. Even if you're, they follow the Brett Locketts, and if you say something, it is just like being in front of your locker
Absolutely.
And talking to the five reporters.
And I don't know how many times I've seen SportsCenter where they'll have a news item which is entirely about somebody's tweets or a tweet war that's going on.
Yep.
So it's not like we're the first ones who have ever done that, who have ever used that as a source. ESPN does it all the time. And it's becoming more and more prevalent that news organizations are using that as opposed to the old-fashioned, you know, verbal quote or however
you
may get
it. That's another question. When you quote somebody off Twitter, should you leave it as is?
You mean correct the grammar and all that stuff?
Yeah, how does that work? Because I've seen some that have corrected it. Because I've read the tweet and then read somebody quoting the tweet, and they cleaned it up a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's the same rules as you would do it if you got it orally.
Right.
Here we go.
You said it!
I would clean it up.
Yeah.
Unless there's a specific reason for not doing so. And there are times that you don't, for effect, if someone uses poor grammar when you're talking to them in the locker room, this, you know, I ain't got to answer to no one. I probably wouldn't change that.
That's the tone.
You know, there was an intent the way the guy said it, and I would probably leave it as is. And I would probably use the same kind of thought process for a tweet. A lot of people leave it, all the abbreviations the same and stuff like that. Now, I think in Twitter, you probably could, you do it as
it was written, but then clean it up or something. I don't know.
I don't know if I would put SMH, you know, without an explanation. You know, and just assume that everybody knows what that meant.
And not only SMH, but also the hashtag with the SMH. I mean,
you're
I'm sure there's literally millions of people that would read that. And what the hell does that say? Not just the abbreviation, but why is there a hashtag?
So the hashtag, whatever you put after the hashtag, that if you click on that, that lists all
everybody
the tweets.
Who's got SMH or Pats or
whatever the hashtag
is. So there's
a
whole thread of conversation that you can follow.
It's a grouping. It's a way to group it. Right. The other thing that's on the table is this whole James Harrison thing. I mean, the man is insane. You know,
have you seen the photo?
They just showed it on ESPN, on Nesson, I'm sorry, with the guns you're talking
about?
Yeah,
when he's the cross.
I mean, why? What is that all about?
He's embracing the image. I think Ron Borg just put it correct. He wants to be a 70s Raider. He's embracing that bad boy, assassin, Jack Tatum image.
It's just ridiculous, you know.
I mean, that's what he's about. There was the thing with the chains and the dogs. I mean, that is him. He hasn't changed his model.
I knew a guy at the University of Tampa who had a red Camaro with the license plate that said, catch me. Okay, if you're not looking for a ticket, a speeding ticket, I don't know what you're doing, you know.
But I also don't think you have that unless you can pay the speeding ticket.
But this guy's looking for trouble. He's looking
right?
for trouble.
I mean, Chris Ferrera wouldn't have that license plate because he doesn't want to pay the speeding ticket. But if you have that license plate, you probably have daddy's money to burn and you pay the ticket.
But I'm saying you're looking for trouble.
But you just don't care. That's my point. Yeah. Well, you just don't care.
And he doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
He does not
exactly.
care.
I wonder if, that's the issue. I wonder if he would be this outward about it if it weren't for his beef with Goodell. You know, I think part of this is he's trying to prove a point to Goodell. You're trying to make us.
What's his beef with his own quarterback? I mean, this guy's
just
insane.
Apparently, they iron things out, or they talk.
But there's separate issues there. One, yeah. He's clearly a loudmouth, opinionated, but Eric's right. I think he is poking the commissioner because he hates him. Clearly hates him and wants to piss him off and wants to see how much he can do to piss him off and make his life miserable. I don't think there's any question about that.
Oh, he has no intention of conforming to anyone or anything.
And but I think the other issue is he's a turd. I believe it was that Dave Raziano, rogue scout guy who used to work for the Niners and now just rips everybody, said he was labeled as a turd coming out of Kent State.
Yeah, and that's probably some of the stuff that you're finding out about him the last year or two is probably telling you a lot more about the early part of his career as to why that happened.
Right.
Because, you know, he was.
Although he might not have been that way back then.
But,
I'm just saying.
You know,
I see what you're saying.
Some things change when some things change.
Yes. As I said on Tuesday, he has developed a little bit
at the NFL level
later in
and
his
sometimes
career.
When you develop, you develop some anger issues.
Right. But my point being is that.
True.
He started off.
Does he have a clean complexion, or does he?
I don't know. I'm not
getting close enough to find out.
He started off as sort of a borderline. I mean, he's only 6'2",
right.
So he's a little small for that position.
Barely
to,
6'2",
to start
according
with.
To the article. Too.
So he started off with a strike against him. Now you throw some of this stuff in where people weren't sure he was going to be able to conform, or you know what kind of. Player he would be under authority, which has certainly been part of it. Now you can see why he went undrafted. I mean, it doesn't, you know,
right.
it's not that much of a stretch.
Yeah. So I don't know how that affects the Patriots. He did have one quote in there about still believing that the Steelers were the better team in 2004, and if it hadn't been for the Spygate, they would have gone to the Super Bowl. But,
picked up 90% of our blitzes.
He also called Rodney and Brewski clowns.
Yeah.
Too.
Clowns, yeah. Right.
Rodney said, I've been called worse, basically.
Right. But you know Teddy's steaming at that, though. you know, he doesn't like that.
We should get him on.
You know.
We should get him on.
Respond.
But
backer to backer.
Because Rodney is responding on the Dan Patrick Show today.
But is he sort of blowing it off, like laughing it off? Like, yeah, I've been called worse.
No, I think he was ripping him.
But I think overall the Steelers are one of those teams that, you know, they get to the Super Bowl and then they really have an off year the next year. And this could be another example of
generally,
that. Generally,
yeah, some of this stuff creeps up.
Yeah.
You know?
Either quarterback crashes in a motorcycle or rapes somebody. Or
well, I think by far and away.
Allegedly, just in case.
The worst thing that he did in terms of, for himself is the criticism of his teammates.
Yeah.
You know, and. You know, he ripped Roethlisberger, you know, basically called him a prima donna who didn't deserve the money that he gets.
I'm okay with that.
Well, there's a couple of things that we'll get into, but, you know, he ripped your boy. I'm sure you're not okay with that. He called your boy a fumble machine.
I'm not okay with that.
Although,
as they say in Toy Story, if the boot fits.
Yeah, you know, and he even criticized Polamalu. You know, even though he kind of
what did he say
about
him?
He was great. They never really said what.
Well,
I thought he
was the one guy that he.
No, he did, but
he took
he
a
continued
shot at him too.
Well, sort of. He said he gets flagged as much as anyone on this team, but he never gets fined for it. He could tell Goodell to kiss his ass, and Goodell would say thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he kind of it's sort of like a
but he loves him.
But he loves him.
He finished that up with but I love him.
But don't you like? I mean, we don't know any.
That's
of these.
The stuff
we don't
that
know any
could
of these guys,
have a
but doesn't it
him.
Seem like Polamalu's a nice guy?
Oh yeah,
that's
you know?
What he said.
Yeah.
He's like he lives it. He's like a very spiritual guy, and he lives it.
You know,
the way he talks
that
it.
Gets you the benefit of the doubt with the commissioner.
Yeah,
you know,
and it shouldn't.
Well,
it
why?
Shouldn't because all they should be taken on the
they
transgression.
Should be taken on their merits. Yeah,
but,
you know,
but,
if,
but
if he's
if
making
Polamalu
an illegal hit,
makes a bad hit. Okay, I screwed up. James Harrison is basically saying, I'm going to keep doing it. I don't care.
But my point
but,
is,
but Polamalu should be
point.
Fined for it.
Right. And if he's not, now I don't know, maybe Harrison's full of crap about that too. You know, maybe he is getting fined and he's just not making a big deal out of it. I don't, you know, that's possible.
Right.
I mean, Harrison's a loose cannon. I think we can all agree. My point is, if Polamalu was making illegal hits and getting away with them because he's a nice guy, that's not right.
No, but he really isn't. I mean,
I don't know. How do you know that to be true?
How do you know?
You know, you would see the hits on highlight reels. You don't really see him, you know.
I mean, I'll give you an example. How many times have you heard people say you can't leave your feet, that launching thing?
He does that.
He does that a
lot. One of the biggest plays of the NFL season last year was his blindside hit of Joe Flacco to cause the fumble at the end of the Ravens game late in the year, which gave the Steelers the division. He left his feet on that.
Yeah, I would.
It was a clean play. He shouldn't have been fined. Yeah. Let me state that emphatically.
Yeah.
It was an absolutely clean play. But he leaves his feet and jumps.
Oh, sure he does.
And hits people up over the shoulders all the time. He did it against Tennessee when he anticipated the snap count and jumped over the line of the goal line.
Right.
I mean, they're legal plays. They're great plays. But I've seen James Harrison get fined for stuff with the same kind of intent. So I don't know if Polamalu was getting away with all of them. Maybe he's been fined many. I'm sure that Polamalu has been fined.
Oh, I'm sure he's received.
He's a very physical player.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't. It should matter maybe how much you get fined the next time if you come in and you show remorse or whatever. And you're a model citizen in the league's eyes. Yeah, that stuff should count. But one hit against one hit, one guy shouldn't get away with it because he's a good guy.
No.
And I like Polamalu a lot in terms of that stuff. You're right. I don't know them from a hole in the wall away from the field. But I'll tell you, talking in that locker room, Troy Polamalu is one of the most impressive guys I've ever spoken to.
Sure. As far as lockout goes, they're still meeting. Both sides now are saying they're very close.
They've been saying
they
that,
had
though.
A statement. Drew Brees went on the radio yesterday and said that, you know, they're real close. It's time for football. And I think, you know, it's their way of putting a little pressure back on the owners now. You know, if you say that we're so close, let's do it. Let's get it done.
Yeah, I'm tired of hearing people say how close it is.
Well, we all are. And I think
the players
might have been a little tired of hearing how close we are, too. And that's why they came out yesterday.
I agree
and
with you, Freddie. We talked about it Tuesday. I think the players had grown tired of that.
Yeah.
It was like the owners were trying to say it's because of the players that we're close, but the players won't agree. So the players said yesterday, yeah, we're close, and our offer's there. It's time to get it done.
So let's hope that, you know, by tomorrow they've got something where they can present next week to the rest of the owners to vote on.
And then we had another example, you know, Brees, after they issued that joint statement with Brady, Brees, and Manning, Brees did some radio stuff and said the stuff about being close. And who was it, Andy, that you – was it Michael Silver?
Yeah, immediately
comes out and says, you know, according to a source, they're not as close as Brees made it out to be yesterday. So on owner's side, so now all of a sudden we're not as close.
Well, that's happened every time somebody
says single time
we're close. Somebody says the opposite. Well, you know.
Oh, but it's like they're tripping over themselves to find somebody to say that.
Yeah. So I don't know.
From what has been
written, you know, this salary, the rookie salary cap is still an issue. But to me, that shouldn't, you know, I would think you could get over that in a few hours of negotiation.
Well, that Andy and I were talking earlier about that because Chris Mortensen, you know, the issue that came up earlier in the week was that it was the fifth year option
right. That
owners and players were haggling over. Mortensen today tweeted something about, it's been a long night. Sorry, a little tired. Rereading my story from yesterday, it's the fourth year option that they're arguing about. And Andy and I were like, that's the first we've heard of a fourth year option. And if so, then they're caving on giving these people 3 year deals.
Right.
Well, so I don't know what Mortensen was really talking about there.
Maybe
he really is really tired and didn't have his facts all there. But
so the last 2 years of the contract are options.
I guess. I don't know. That's the only thing I saw about that. That was the first time I'd seen anything.
I hadn't seen
year.
That, and I don't think it's accurate, and I'll tell you why. Florio had a pretty detailed piece on Tuesday that we actually talked about on the show, Fred. I read an excerpt from that, and he said he got the information through a memo from, I can only assume, the NFL, because, let's face it, he works for the NFL.
Right.
So I find it hard to believe he had a memo detailing this stuff, and he had something that was that far off of what is actually the truth.
Yep. In other news locally, Patriots fans or season ticket holders are starting to actually receive their tickets. And
individual game tickets go on sale tomorrow.
Is that right? Is that the day?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe it's the day. I know it's – we just got a release.
Usually that happens like 10 o'clock is when that opens up.
And they sell out by
Ticketmaster 10, only. But, you know, some people are trying to read into the fact that, oh, people are getting their tickets. That must be a good sign.
It was announced
I think
a
all
weeks
along
ago,
the Patriots have been business as usual. They've been –
They have.
You know, so that is not a –
As is evidenced by this show.
Yeah.
We've been here every year.
That is not a change in how they've conducted business this lockout season. But, you know, I'm hopeful that everything gets done and we have a full training camp and full preseason. They're talking about the Bears-Rams game at the
August
Hall
7th.
Of Fame.
Yep.
And that's
hanging by a thread.
Yeah, that's getting in jeopardy. Point. Although somebody from the Bears said that we only need one day to prepare for that game. Like, okay.
Yeah, players said if they don't get the proper amount of time, they're not playing.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think that game's happening.
You don't?
No.
That's your guess.
That's my guess.
Okay.
You know what? I agree with Eric. I think that's probably going to be the only casualty of the preseason. I think it's going to get done in the next week or 10 days or so. And I think they'll probably say, all right, let's just map out our timeline that they gave us on Monday, something along those lines. And we'll just scrap that Hall of Fame game and go. Everybody will have four. Yeah.
And no one but the Hall of Fame cares.
I don't mean to be disrespectful. But I was about to say, you know, I've never watched the lick of that game other than the 2000
game.
And maybe you could add it up. It would be 10 minutes worth of watching since then.
I was going to say maybe I wasn't even watching that one either.
But you mentioned that no one cares except the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But they do care. And,
no, I know.
You know, the Pro Football Hall of Fame is sort of separate from the NFL. It's like its own little entity. But, you know, these are a bunch of guys that's their life.
Yeah.
And this game means a lot to them.
I feel bad for them.
And you know what's funny, too, and I agree with you, Fred, I probably haven't even seen 10 minutes of the game since then, but it gets a decent rating every year.
Yeah.
Because
it's the first one.
It's the first one.
It gets a decent
rating. Proves how much
people
love
football. If one of your guys, you know, went into the hall that year, you're kind of psyched up just because of that. And
I would watch the Saturday thing, you know, for like Andre Tippett weekend. I watched Saturday when you were there.
Yeah, but sometimes it's a carryover. Well,
they always interview them in the booth during the game.
So it's a big deal for, you know,
plus it's just like if you're just a football fan, that's the first opportunity to see and, you know, teams in uniform on the field going against each other. Yeah, exactly.
It's the personification.
It's the first one.
If it wasn't for that game, we wouldn't have the Bill Walsh story.
That's true.
The bus for Bill Walsh story.
A great story.
So, you know, it'll be too bad.
I just can't bring myself to watch it.
Yeah, it's just.
I just can't stand preseason football.
I usually put it on and then click away during the first commercial.
When I was a kid, I loved it. I remember, you know, looking so forward to those preseason games.
But you liked football back then.
Well, that's true. I mean, you never like it like you do when you're a kid.
But like,
it's never the same for you.
Even yesterday, I watched the whole Revs Manchester United game,
the friendly.
And
why?
I understand it doesn't really
Fred,
mean anything.
Called matches.
It's sort of a tournament, but really it's the preseason for Manchester United. They're getting ready for the season.
Mm-hmm.
It's an exhibition. But I was pissed when they all subbed in the second half. I don't want to watch the
soccer.
I don't want to watch their warm up. I want to watch the best players playing against the best players.
Why would you watch that game?
But it's their preseason.
You know what I mean. Whatever the level is, I want to see the best Revs against the best Manchester United. You know.
Well, that's why they don't any longer do the international game as a preseason game. Now you play in London during the regular season because the fans over there were saying, well, we paid to see Tom Brady play.
I don't blame them. I don't blame them. I want to see the best always.
So they should schedule that Manchester United type game against the Revs in the fall when
not against the Revs.
Yeah.
No, but I mean
I will say though that the difference is remarkable. I mean these guys in the Premier League and Manchester, it's unbelievable what they can do with the ball. It really is amazing.
What do you think the football comparison is? NFL to college, good college, lower level college? What's the
Yeah, I'd say it's NFL to college. you know.
But like Super Bowl Packers versus Auburn, Super Bowl champ versus national champ?
No, or? I'd say it might be even one step lower than an Auburn.
Wow.
Yeah, because.
So Packers versus, you know, more, the 21st.
It's more
team.
Of a depth thing because like Auburn has some players that are pretty much NFL ready, but they don't have enough of them.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But do the Revs even have Cam Newton?
No, because they would be playing there if they did. It's a
right.
It's not a, you know.
Well,
it's
no,
not,
well,
I mean,
no, that's not
exactly
true. You could have
true.
The up and coming Cam that's, Newton. Well, Cam Newton's now playing in the pros because he was moving up the ladder.
No, I understand.
Well,
you
also
could have that
like
on the Revs.
Well, like the no, Galaxy no. have Landon Donovan. Landon Donovan can play in the Premier League. He actually did play in the Premier League last year for a few games.
Then why isn't he still there?
Because of his contract, I think. He was loaned to
Wait,
a Premier
so no
League.
So no young
team.
MLS player has ever gone on to the Premier League?
Oh yeah.
Dempsey, well, yeah, not the Premier League. Dempsey
yes.
went to Germany?
No, Dempsey's in the Premier
he's,
League
he's
now.
In the Premier
he's
League.
A starter.
So that's
actually.
The same.
My point is he didn't go there. Until he proved himself that he could play there. There's no one choosing to play in the MLS that can play in the Premier League.
See, no. Landon Donovan can play in the Premier League.
Well, he
but
can't.
It's pretty
but
close he's under to contract
You
right
said
now.
He can't.
He can, I said.
I said that anyone that can.
You said he can't. He can't.
You said he can't.
I think it's
of
because
contract.
Of his contract
so
that
he
he's...
can't play there. If you can play there, you play there. Or in Serie A or Bundesliga. You play in one of those because the money's there.
Of course.
You know, why would you not do that? You know?
But when Landon Donovan is able, he will be back in Europe. He's not going to stay with the Galaxy. I don't think they're going to be able to pay him what he can get in Europe.
Okay, that's fine.
And the reason Beckham's here is because he's at the end of his career and he's not going to get that kind of money from a team over there now.
Right, and he couldn't you know, he's probably beyond the skill level of playing in one of those leagues now.
He's just a face, trying to get the league.
Right. And it's funny though that he can still perform at this level.
It's like
at the
if you
MLS
could play
level.
In the NFL, would you play in the CFL?
No,
it's the same thing.
Yeah, but the CFL is below good college football, I would say.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah,
you can't
probably
get.
Is.
I'm telling you, it's the other pro league. You know,
college football is the other pro league.
Yeah,
except they don't get paid.
Except they do.
Yeah, they don't. Paul, did you have something you'd like to add? Hopefully better than you did. He didn't. He can't. He can.
apparently not.
You guys read the, did a good job editing the numbers feature, correct? Number 69, if you recall, was Eugene Chung, remember? I called him one of the all-time first-round busts. Please tell me that I didn't, by accident, write Patrick Chung instead of Eugene.
Well, that would be what I would do.
You mean in for the paper?
Yeah.
Feature?
You don't remember?
I didn't see it.
Well, because someone, Doc Varmint, tweets me, wow, at PFW Paul calls Patrick Chung one of the team's all-time first-round draft busts. So I just I responded to him and said that was Eugene, not Patrick. But I hope I didn't make a mistake in the paper. I hope I didn't.
Check that. Maybe Chris Ferreira can check that. And
I hope
or,
I didn't
or
somebody
in
that.
One of the many people in the booth who's next to us.
Let the other Kevin go.
Cast
the other Kevin go.
So we still
it might
have
not
lunch.
Have been you. Because that was a graphic thing. It was taken from the document and made into a graphic for all the jerseys.
Well,
you may have an out.
I'll be going with that if that's the case. But
he also wasn't, I mean, people should know, he wasn't a first-round pick. So you weren't
Chung.
Talking about Patrick.
Yeah.
But if it does say
Patrick
let's change that immediately to Eugene.
Mm-hmm.
Who I've called Patrick, and I've called Eugene.
People have called
Eugene.
Patrick Eugene.
Right.
That's right.
So. Rodney Mayo.
Right.
OJ.
See that thing? He's seventh best player in the AFC East. You know, speaking of lists that are getting out of control.
Yeah.
Now, we did the top 100 in the NFL. We got to do it by division now. Yeah. I didn't read it, but I wonder, I mean, I'm assuming Brady is number one in the AFC East.
I didn't read it. I'm tired of those things.
I am, too. That's why I didn't read it. But I just thought it was interesting if I couldn't go through, if I would actually put him as the seventh. Well, I would have Wilfork ahead of him, so I have at least two Patriots ahead of him.
For what?
Best AFC East player.
Well, speaking of
Darrell Revis is ahead of him.
Yeah.
Who's the best player in every team? I don't know who the best Dolphin is. Cameron Wake is ahead of him.
Cameron Wake.
Jake Long.
So he's not the seventh best player in the AFC East. I'm pretty sure we just got to more than six.
Who are we talking about?
Gerard Mayo.
Oh, Mayo.
He doesn't listen.
Oh, I think Mayo's better than Jake Long.
Yeah, but it wouldn't. The defense of Jake Long is much easier.
Yeah, I wouldn't sit there and say that's
I think
a travesty.
Jake Long's an overrated
Long
right
was...
tackle who plays left tackle. He stinks.
Oh, boy. Speaking of lists, Tiff in Wisconsin says...
It said Eugene? Oh, thank you.
you guys scoffed at Merriweather making some list or whatever. Sorry, Paul, I was barely listening. Anyway, I watched the Patriots' 2010 yearbook on ESPN, and Merriweather's name was called a lot for the big defensive plays. If you are a casual Patriots football fan, you would think he was the Ed Reed of the team based on that show. I recorded the show and watched it with my best friend, and he was very impressed with Merriweather. He debated me that Merriweather was one of the best safeties in the game. My best friend's from Africa, so he isn't a huge fan of American football. It's just an example how allegedly good casual football fans think he is. I work with Green Bay fans, and they think he is good. In my opinion, that explains his being added to a lot of prestigious lists. As always, the show was great. I agree with James in Pittsburgh that the failure of Thursday's show was the lack of chemistry between the two hosts.
Suck it.
So people are trying
and
people are trying to make
that would have proven the chemistry.
But, you know, but I, you know, Andy, you weren't here obviously to defend yourself. But you know, it is a shame that I come back from a little vacation.
Oh, will you stop?
And I have to have read all this stuff about how everything has gone to hell.
But I was a major bobblehead.
Maybe you should read the positive ones and realize I was dead center. Half loved it, half hated it, all listened.
No, it's not half.
Half.
It's not half.
Half.
No, it's not half. William Berry does not qualify as half.
Half. Read all the tweets, read all the comments.
Well, we got a lot of emails.
I didn't say emails.
It's
only a small percentage.
Some defended you, like Kevin, he's from North Carolina. He says, I'm not sure where all the hatred for Andy and Lindsay's show is coming from. I thought it was just fine.
I thought it was just directed toward Kevin.
Andy is self-admittedly not the best at managing the flow of the show, but it was nowhere near as bad as some of the haters are portraying it to be. The show is at its best when everyone is there, but Andy's show was pretty entertaining. Also, the other listeners are straight up lying when they say that Andy made everyone uncomfortable. Lindsay was joking back and forth the entire time and seemed to enjoy the banter, even joining in to make a personal shot at Eric, which was hilarious. Keep up the great work. And, Andy, some of us out here love the childish humor, so keep it up. I will say, though, that from the input I've got, that were it not for Lindsay, the show might have been, like, the worst show, not just here, but ever.
Well,
I think she helped, you know, kind of
save
Andy from himself.
You know I'm not a host. I can't even stay on track when I'm not the host, never mind when I'm actually trying to keep an entire show
on
track.
And if he were the only person on the show, because let's face it, I mean, you know, Kevin wouldn't have brought anything to the table.
But it became uncomfortable when he joined the show.
It would have been just the opposite. Yeah. He would have been subtraction by addition if he had come on the show.
In defense of Andy, if he were the only you can't do a show by yourself. I mean, that's not. I've never heard a show, even by the most experienced radio guy, who does a solo show that is at all entertaining.
I was going to say, you can do it. It's not entertaining.
I've heard a million of them.
You can be informative. You can do others. You cannot entertain when you're by yourself.
How many times have we done?
It's hard.
You know,
you have to have a lot of input from listeners. You know, you have to have them.
But
all,
I don't think
pre-prepared segments that you.
I don't hear one person shows who are entertaining.
And we've
they
heard
can
a
be
lot
informative,
of them.
But not entertaining, over the top entertaining.
Well, you know, it's not sports, but there used to be a guy in Boston. Called Gene Burns. I don't know if anybody remembers him. He had a daytime talk show, and it was mostly, you know, topics of the day, mostly politics. But he had a couple listeners that hated him. But he would let them on, and they would get into these vicious arguments, and that was entertaining.
But if they were a couple, they basically became co-hosts. That's kind of what you're saying.
But
I'm saying flat out just doing it by your ESPN style.
It's hard to do.
It's borderline impossible, I think.
You know, but if
Paul, we're on the radio.
You can't
here.
See that, Paul.
But I do believe if you have
a lot of monkeys laughing. In
I
the
didn't
background.
Say anything. You guys were talking.
If you were laughing,
I was laughing at the
TV
commercial
that no one can see.
But I am not involved in your conversation.
But we can hear you laughing.
I do believe if you have good listeners that call in and the occasional guest, a one man show or person show can be good.
That's why it wouldn't work here.
Yeah, I have. Honestly, I've never heard a good one man show. And every time that we do the
half of them are defending.
That's
him
why. That's why we hate him.
That's
not,
the
not
beauty
half,
of me.
All right,
can we
20%.
Can we stop
beauty.
With the half, please? Yeah. What do we
got here? This is what you guys always do. You change my argument and put words in my mouth.
Well, certainly.
Less than 30 seconds after he chastises me for laughing, he goes, "What do we have here?" He's like,
"Well, I pulled a curse. That it was some hot babe in a bikini."
Certainly, Brent is not one of those that are defending Andy.
He's an idiot.
He says, I'm not including in my hello, Big Head, as I honestly am not happy he returned. I'm sure that Paul, Eric, and Fred will be drowned out by the loudmouth, know-it-all, talking over everyone to get his opinions
heard. What are we talking about?
I went back and re-listened to last Thursday's show, and apart from cringing...
So now he listened twice. It was so bad, he listened twice.
And apart from cringing when Andy fondled his man boobs, kept congratulating himself to every time Lindsay said something like Hooters, and constantly saying, Mark Tape, I noticed something that Mr. Backtrack said that I found funny. It was during the whole Reggie Bush, cue the Andy immature chuckle.
I actually got criticized, by the way, for not making Bush and Woodhead and jokes at the time.
It was during that discussion where Andy said, I love Kevin Falk. Is this not the boy who said Kevin Falk is washed up a couple years ago?
Yes, it is.
Another in the long line of backtracks.
Thank you. Let's get it accurate.
Another in the long
line of backtracks.
That was
8 years ago.
At least he's consistent, consistently creepy, and consistently rewriting history, and he's delusional enough to think his show was radio gold. I say more like fool's gold, as I said on Twitter.
He follows me on Twitter as well. Listen to the show twice. You're right. I really screwed it up. You proved it to me. You taught me a lesson.
Is he actually trying to get these people to stop listening? Is that what his goal is?
The only person that can do that is B-Lo. He's the only person that's ever proven that he can stop people from listening.
I hope to God that if
and
Andy
no socks.
And Paul are doing the pregame
It almost sounds like
B-Lo,
though.
No, no socks was a big part of that.
I hope to God if Andy and Paul are doing the pregame tailgate show, Paul can keep the immature 13-year-old from asking every caller if there are strippers or girls with nice breasts at their tailgate. I can only imagine the teenage brain talking to some drinking fans. No, wait, I can't. Last week I wrote in how much I dislike Brian Lowe on the show, but I would have to say he might be a better permanent option than Big Head or even bring back Brian Morey. Couldn't
be worse.
I'm not the
brightest guy in the world.
Maybe put Big Head with Rook during the season, that professional radio man might be able to whip Andy into shape.
I guarantee I'd have Rook making dirty jokes within 10 minutes.
I think, Fred,
he's
you
not
said
so
it.
That. Sucky, sucky.
I know.
I think, Fred, you said it best when you said Andy doesn't know how to interact with anyone who is not just like him. And thank God there are not many people around like him.
So he'll hate the pregame show so much he might listen three times instead of just twice? I mean, is that what he's going to do? Because, you know, I hate it when people listen to the show twice. That really hurts our numbers.
I hate to let you down, but the pregame show...
He's not above that is what I meant to say.
I'm quite sure that I'm not going to discourage Andy from asking those kinds of questions.
No, but the pregame show is going to have a lot of stuff that you guys are going to be busy with.
Yes.
You won't have time to be...
But it will also
We'll make time.
Tailgate talk.
Right.
And if people would say it at a tailgate party waiting for
social,
the game...
It's a social.
We will say it.
Right. And God help a poor female who happens to call in from a tailgate.
And Paul,
I'm not going to discourage Andy from asking the inevitable.
A dead serious question. If you were at a tailgate with your brothers and everything, and a hot babe walked by, what would happen?
You'd look. You'd make a comment. You'd say something.
It's
a
tail.
No. To each other.
No, but you'll do it to
Check
her.
Out the fun bags on that hose hound, your brother would say to you. That's what happens at a tailgate party.
But to each other,
it's kind
not
of a
to
radio
the
show, though, too. So let's, you know.
And we will rein it in.
Look, I think that.
There's a happy medium.
I said it.
I'm still looking
on Tuesday
for the okay to drink.
I think you do need to seek some type of professional help. I really do. I think one of the reasons why you have all these stomach problems is because people you don't know really get you anxious. That's why you poop yourself all the time.
I have stomach problems.
You're walking around all with this anxiety.
I can't even remember the last time I pooped myself.
But you mask it by the macho,
craziness. I don't think that's true.
You know?
Yeah, what's going on with your insides? You were on your death's doorstep a couple of months ago.
I got some medicines I'm taking.
They're working?
Dabbling with the diet. I'm better. Oh, yeah, I'm better.
Now he's better. He doesn't have to travel, so he's much better.
I still have issues, but I don't eat the buffalo wings. I've taken some stuff out of the diet.
That really pleased himself
with that
one.
No, but they put you on something, right? Prozac or something like that?
Omeprazole.
Okay.
Omeprazole?
That's for like an acid thing or whatever.
I'm just looking at the picture
he's
of Harrison.
He likes to laugh at TVs. It's a different
TV.
And
I'm telling you why. It's the picture of Harrison that Fred was talking about.
I guess Borges went into what those two guns are, and I guess like they're the worst guns.
One's a Smith & Wesson.
If you're a killer, they're the best guns.
The Mexican cartel prefers one of them.
Maybe he got it from Operation Fast and Furious.
I think he got them from his trunk.
Yeah, they didn't bring him as props. He just walked in.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Is that what you're looking for? I have the perfect thing.
Let's see. Scott in Atlanta. I'll read this email, then we'll take a break.
Before you read that email, can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
You know, just back to the Harrison thing. Do you think he deserves to be fined or suspended?
Yes, but he won't be because it's a lockout.
Do you think he...
Yes. I think he does.
Suspended?
No, fined. I don't think you can disrespect
but I don't
the commissioner
can
of the league.
You guys for what they're doing at this point in time, right?
Because
they're not under the jurisdiction of the league.
So
I think
like
you
if
can.
They, if one of them commits a crime, they're not going to be subject to suspension.
That, well,
I think
they're actually he's still an NFL player.
That Andrew Brandt tweeted that. What's
Hines
his name?
Ward?
No, the other one. Well, yeah, but no.
Pac-Man Jones.
Yes, there was
not
debate going on as to whether there would be ramifications because of the lockout and whether things in the lockout fall under.
My gut tells me that they will eventually face something.
See, I think Harrison should be more held responsible than a guy who gets a DUI, because a DUI is simply an off-the-field poor choice. He called the credibility of your game's commissioner.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's gonna something's gonna happen.
To me, that's no different than you can't call the credibility of a game official into question.
I'll give credit to NFL.com. They actually had that on their homepage. The whole Harrison thing, they didn't shy away from it.
Well, they have to.
Criticizing the commissioner. I don't think you can. That's free speech as far as I'm concerned.
But you don't have free speech in the NFL.
Yeah.
You can't talk
you
about
can't talk about. You can't talk about officials. You can't
that's
talk about the league. You
know
it
that's
isn't.
The integrity of the game.
And the integrity of the commissioner.
You called commissioner.
Him a puppet who's on
right.
the take
yeah,
and who did this and that.
I think
Spygate?
Look, as much as I disagree, I think Goodell isn't that. I think that he should be able to say that without.
Well, then why can't he say anything about a game?
I think he
official.
Should be fine.
Because officials, it's different. It's
he's
different.
The head
well,
official.
Though?
He's the top of the food chain.
Right.
Yeah. I don't
I
know.
I think he should be fined.
You know, because then what? You can't say anything about a coach. You can't say anything about players. You
that's
can't,
the
you
team,
know.
and that's not calling
other,
the
other
game.
Other coaches, you know.
See, that's different, though. He's calling into question the credibility of the man who runs
right.
the game.
That to me, is deserving of some sort of penalty.
I'm usually for free speech, but you control your
I don't know.
League.
If you're going to have the rules in place that you can't make fun of officials, unless you give carte blanche to everybody, you have to abide by the rules.
I think it's a slippery slope, you know, when you say we're going to start fining people for what they say about the commissioner.
No, but I don't think he should be fined for, I wouldn't piss on him, I hate him. But I think he called into question his if he's on the take, if
calling him a puppet.
If everything's on the up and up.
Right.
I mean, the Spygate references, what'd he do? He fined him and got rid of the tapes.
Those are his boys and,
yeah. I think he called into question the credibility and whether he is truly level on the up and up.
Yeah, but I think he's criticizing his handling of something that's public. I'm kind of with Fred.
I don't think
he's saying that the league is fixed.
No, I think he's saying
the
commissioner.
That would be different.
I think he's saying the commissioner is not
the commissioner plays favorites.
That's
what he's saying.
I don't think that's calling.
Oh,
I don't think that's. I think that's fair game. I think he's like Fred said.
You said that against about an official.
Insane.
He didn't throw that flag because that's his boys.
Because he thinks it's fixed.
Well,
to me, it's the same thing.
What about what
the Ravens?
The discipline is fixed, or the game.
The Ravens say that after every time we play them, they say that about Tom Brady. That Tom Brady gets favoritism.
He whines for the flag, and they say in general that the quarterbacks.
I don't know. I don't think Terrell Suggs should get fined for that.
Well, he didn't.
He didn't.
I don't think he should. But you're saying that you know
he's talking
he's
about
questioning the integrity of the refs.
No, he isn't. He's questioning the integrity of the game. Whether we treat quarterbacks differently, the pretty boy quarterbacks. This is a specific. Roger Goodell has favorites. Doesn't treat everything. It's not on the level. Mm-hmm. It's not all the same. I don't think he can do that. Because if you don't have faith in that, it's the same as an official. If you don't have faith in him to call the game on the up and up, you've ruined the game.
I'm with you on the free speech argument, Fred. I think all of these players should be able to say whatever they want about whomever they want, whenever they want.
That's why I think
without,
he should be able to say, I wouldn't piss on the commissioner.
Right.
But when you bring the game into it and his actual job as the head of the game, that's different.
And if you're going to have rules in place for, you can't talk about these people, you can't talk about these people, well then... The commissioner is above the officials. If you can't make fun of the officials, you certainly shouldn't be able to make fun of the commissioner.
But I think at the officiating...
In terms of the league, not in terms
not,
of just...
Not in terms
I,
of,
I just think you have to nip the officiating thing in the butt.
See, that's why I think the officiating is different. That's the only thing
every
you can...
Every league does that because that would get out of hand after
every
game. Because
every team that lost would spend the whole post game whining about the officiating.
Right. Right.
If you didn't have that. They don't want that.
Right.
I think that I
so
think
we
it's
want
a,
all players saying coming out now and talking about the commissioner.
Well,
it's the same thing.
I mean, if they feel
if
that
you
way,
now give
you
them all carte blanche, you can say whatever you want about the commissioner. Doesn't matter that he's.
I don't think Roger Goodell wants that. No, but I don't think that every player would feel that. I think every player
think
that loses a game would complain about the officiating after a game if they had carte blanche.
I don't think every player would do that.
I don't either. I think the vast majority of games when they're over would see.
And who
comments
cares?
About the officiating. I don't think the NFL wants that. I don't think.
But they want the commissioner.
No,
they want people. The greatest scandal the league has seen in the last decade.
That.
They want people insinuating publicly
they
that
don't
he didn't really
that.
Handle it on the
no,
up and up.
How many other guys
that.
Have said the same exact thing about Goodell and haven't been fined about that?
I don't know.
About the specific thing of Spygate.
How many?
A million.
They have.
Virtually every Pittsburgh Steeler.
Yeah, Hines Ward.
Goodell burned the tapes. I've heard that many times.
Marshall Faulk.
Call him his boys?
Never. Essentially, it was that type of thing. But
I don't know. I think he should be fine. I think
I
think the league considers the source and says, you know what, it's better to just leave it. You know,
I think he's going
like
to get.
Like I said, they put it on the homepage of NFL.com.
Yeah, I think he's going
to
get.
They're not
fine.
Trying to run away from it.
Well, but it's out. I mean,
but they're also trying to prove a point too. They're
maybe,
also they might
show
also be
what
trying
an
to
idiot he is.
That yeah. And also to say, look, we were fair enough to put his comments out there. Now we also feel like he needs to be fined for what he said. Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you might be right. Maybe they will fine him once things resume.
Suspended. Oh, I think he's going to get fined. If he gets suspended, I think that is the
yeah. He should not be suspended.
I'm more upset
atrocity
about the picture
of all atrocities.
Than anything he said.
He should not
the picture
be
is what bothers
suspended.
Me. I think that's idiotic.
Yeah, I think he's going to get fined. I think he's going to get fined. But if he gets suspended, that's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
You know, and if the guy says I'm giving up, I'm going to go play in Canada. Bye bye. You know.
He's not going to do that.
Well, they're not going to beg him to come back. I mean,
no, but no. I don't think it's...
He's not going to do that because they're not going to pay him in Canada like they pay him here.
$50 million or $32,000?
You just said earlier on the show, if you could play in the CFL
but,
or the NFL,
guy,
would you play in the
like
CFL?
Him,
no.
Just out of his own warped principle, might do something like that.
Good for him then.
Yeah.
He wants his money, too.
Were you going to take a break or...
He was going to read an email.
Okay. Well, I was going to read an email, then take a break.
All right, go ahead.
This is from Scott in Atlanta. He says, it's been a while, so I thought I'd drop you a note. The Andy Show of last week prompted me, I think he means, to send this email. As you know, I've been a loyal listener and lunch buyer for as long as or longer than anyone around. I've supplied you fellows with
Scott
lunch.
Scott has been around for a long
time. Going back
to
the 40s with Paul.
Absolutely.
Cheaper back then.
Used to ride the train with us to games. I say this only to validate my credentials and ability to properly critique the show.
Uh-oh.
So with that, I'll tell you that this has been by far your best off season, and I think the listeners agree.
Until.
I can tell because usually during the off season, I would get a call almost every week to do lunch. This year, once. I don't think we should ever call people to buy us.
No, I agree. I've said that in the past.
Hell, I remember some stretches in the past when it was strippers, myself, and Christian doing most of the off-season lunches.
God bless you.
I think that during the off-season, it's important to take the show in a slightly different direction, i.e. humor and stories. It gives us a break from the rehashing of same old material again and again. So again, hats off. You guys are killing it.
But.
Football with a good dose of real life. Well done. Now,
but I knew this was coming.
The other shoe.
All that being said, that show of Andy and Lindsay's last week was freaking awful. Let's not try to duplicate that again. You guys would be doing no favors to anybody by repeating that chemistry. As I say to my employees when they are evaluating the subordinates, you do a disservice to one of your employees by keeping them in a position that they are not succeeding in.
Yeah, it's Andy's Fred's fault.
Andy's good at hosting the football-centric roster report and other short, stay-on-topic kind of shows, but last week was a disaster. And for the record, I like Andy. He's a good guy, has some great insight, and does good when the group is all together.
Good.
Now on to a football rant. This is his football rant. Can we please get away from saying someone has the blueprint to beat us? I'm so tired of that. Baltimore had it in 07, then the Giants, then the Jets, then the Colts, then the Ravens again, so on and so on. If so many of these teams have the blueprint, why do we continue to go 14-2, 12-4, or whatever the season might bring? I think the losses in the last two playoffs were the Patriots playing some bad football.
Three.
Baltimore was just a crap team, and while the Jets had a good game plan, again, it was just a bad football game on our side without good in-game adjustments. So what do you think, blueprint or just a team with a good plan against us? By the way, I think Bill's smart enough to change the structure of his team following individual meltdowns to render any blueprint ineffective. So maybe that's a good topic. We can talk about that. When we take a break, lunch is here, so we don't want to be talking with our mouths full too much. So we'll take
this
quick break, and we'll be right back.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
What will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Browns!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Your attention, please. PFW in Progress has a new number. Change your speed dial to 508-298-0398.
Oh, so now I'm supposed to talk? Oh, okay.
I didn't hear any music.
No, I didn't hear the music. Usually there's music that ends the breaks.
Can you be nice? They're learning.
No, I'm just saying. Just so they
and,
have
and
to,
they probably did play it, but we were eating.
It's PFW in Progress, so it's no problem. But usually, like, the breaks end, and then there's, like, a lead-in to us. So they play some
little
type
bump
of
music.
Bit.
Yeah, or a bit.
No,
you
got
to
turn your
mic on,
I
Rachel.
Can't hear you.
Oh, let's shoot up. There was a song, no?
Oh, we didn't have our headphones.
There
on.
Was a song. No.
I don't know. Maybe.
Slim Shady. I'm There's a little Slim Shady playing.
Oh.
But
sometimes Kevin will play like
more
some type of bit that he's got.
Can you be nice?
Or just give us like a little.
We played a bit too.
You know.
We played a bit in a song. Yeah.
We
wow.
are training
we were,
Kevin's
we were
replacements.
Sure, 'cause we were talking about. We're like, do they know it's time? Are we supposed to? Let
yeah. You
know?
Usually just give us like a okay. some sort of warning signal.
All right. Let's blame it on Kevin because he didn't tell us.
That's a good. That's a good answer.
Love it. She's learning.
Excellent, Rachel.
He'll say it's not his fault.
508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. We were talking about James Harrison and everything that went on yesterday in the lockout. But just before we went to break, Scott sent us an interesting email, which, you know, maybe we can follow up on and get some of the listener input. Do you think that there is a blueprint to beat the Patriots, or it's just a matter of, you know, good teams playing better on that day and the Patriots, you know, not just you know, not.
I think there's a personnel blueprint.
You do.
Good corners who can cover and good pass rushers who can get there without blitzing. That's my general belief on how you beat. Now, I don't think most teams have it. We look at the teams that do. The Packers, everybody said, oh, they have very good corners, and they can get there with the pass rusher. The Jets have good corners, and Sean Ellis was getting pressure up the middle without blitzing.
So then the question
is, style.
Why, if you have that personnel on defense, why does that work against the Patriots?
Because they're a passing team?
Because they don't have a good enough running game? I don't know. I'm asking the question.
Well, strength is passing.
Why is that particularly? It sounds to me like that would work against any team. So why specifically the Patriots?
I think, A, if you could stretch field.
Right. And if you have a great offensive line.
But, I mean, if you can hold the receivers up and get pressure within a couple seconds, you're going to have a good chance against the Patriots. Now, if they had a guy to stretch the field that they could just lob it up to, okay, that changes a little bit. Or if they had a guy they can hand it off to, play action. There's a lot of different ways.
And part of it,
so you're
kind
of agreeing with Scott then that there might be a blueprint for the Patriots.
But I think it's a personnel blueprint.
Well, you have to be able to execute.
We're disagreeing with Scott.
You need talent.
Yeah. Scott doesn't think there's a blueprint.
Okay. I actually think Scott's two things are the same. Scott says, is it a blueprint or is it a game plan that allows you to do those things?
Well,
I think it's the same. I think the blueprint is what Andy said. You want to try to have you need to have good cover corners, and you need to be able to get pressure without selling out.
Right, and most teams
don't.
If
you sell out, Brady will kill
you. As evident by 14-2.
Right, and that's where, you know, to sit there and say, why, if all these teams have the blueprint, do the Patriots continue to win? Because most teams don't. They don't have that blueprint. They don't have that ability.
They don't have the ability to execute the blueprint.
The teams that have tried to do that have generally succeeded. Pittsburgh does not have that blueprint. They don't have cover corners and the ability to get pressure without blitzing.
Right.
As great as they are defensively, I think their scheme fits very well into what the Patriots want to do on offense.
And it's shown in the record against them over the last few years.
I would think it's a very accurate statement to say the Patriots have the blueprint of how to beat Pittsburgh's defense.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I would say that's more accurate.
And then people would say, but
wait a minute. So there's a blueprint for the Patriots to beat a good team.
Before we get on to Fred's homers.
Pittsburgh.
No, what I'm saying is before we get into Fred's homerific, statement there.
Wait, he says that I agree and I'm the homer.
No, because
agree to the blueprint to beat the Patriots.
No, you said you think that's more accurate. I don't think it's more accurate. I think the Jets have the blueprint to slow down the Patriots defense. I think Baltimore has a blueprint to slow down. I think Green Bay showed you a blueprint. I think those things are accurate. But most teams don't have that. I think the Patriots have a blueprint to slow to rip apart that Steelers defense. Now, you don't think defenders of Dick LeBeau's defense in Pittsburgh and Troy Polamalu and all those guys would say, oh, yeah? If they have the blueprint, then why do the Steelers finish number one in defense every year? Because they don't play the Patriots every week. The same reason why the Patriots don't play the Ravens every week.
As much as football is the ultimate team game, it is also a lot about matchups. And, the Patriots have been able to match up to Pittsburgh in what Pittsburgh tries to do on defense, just like the Jets were able to match up against the Patriots' offense. I actually wanted a regular Coke. If you could just dump that out.
Did my juice not make it?
If you could.
My water didn't make it either, so don't
feel
bad.
So a lot of it has to do with
matchups.
What
do we got for cookies?
You know, everyone has that blueprint that the Jets have, but not everyone can execute it.
No, but my point is the blueprint and the game plan are the same thing.
Exactly.
That's the only point that I would say. I think Scott is right. The Patriots have been able to succeed because they know how teams are going to want to try to defend them, but most teams don't have the ability to do so. So you can sit there and have a blueprint, but if you don't have the ability to do it,
right?
And that's why lately I would argue that in the postseason you're not having a lot of. I think the Giants did a lot of that. I don't think the Giants did a ton of blitzing. In the Super Bowl, they got there. They got pressure.
Right.
And they covered well enough.
Yeah, they just beat us man on man.
Right.
Just, this is an interesting email. This is from Mike in New York City who says, I am, shall we say, an unnamed member of the New York Jets football staff, and I'm involved in determining who will join our team. As the New England Patriots are one of our chief rivals, determining who the Patriots plan to acquire and how they plan to use said acquisitions would be extremely beneficial to my job. so I am sending this not at all suspicious email to try to glean such information. Please remember, I am highly intelligent, and I will not fall for any tricks. I have done my due diligence and scouted the members of your staff. I recognize that Paul Perillo probably won't want to divulge any secrets of the Patriots, but even if he did, he would try to take on a role of contrarian and reply in the opposite of any direction I think he will take. Also, Fred Kirsch will overhype any possible addition to the Patriots as great, but anyone who does not join the team will instantly be dismissed as awful. So, I will take anything said from Fred or Paul with more than a grain of salt. Don't get me started on Eric Scalavino, as he is a compulsive liar, and I wouldn't believe a word he says.
Ooh.
Honestly, does anyone believe a man with no comic timing and even less sense of humor could possibly have been a stand-up comedian? But I digress. No. The real target of my deceptive hunt for information will fall to Andy Hart. Despite the fact that he is immature and inappropriate as a show host, he has that special combination of lack of love for your team, along with the ego of always wanting to be proven correct. Now, there is a man I can trust, as long as it is Thursday and not Tuesday. Also, Andy, please give me your thoughts on who the Patriots plan to acquire and be on the lookout for more surreptitious emails to help me with my job later this summer.
Mike Tannenbaum checking in.
So he's asking you who the that's right. That was our assignment. We were supposed to group the available free agents by levels of talent.
We've done that.
Right. So, Andy, who do you think? This is something that came up last week. Who do you think the Patriots should be targeting in free agency? Forget about whether they will or not. Who should they be?
Well, Matt Roth, as a depth guy at outside linebacker, who I think could play, you know, has started 16 games for a 3-4 team in this league. I think a receiver. I think they need some help. Malcolm Floyd, I think may get too much money, and I'd be concerned where he is in his career. He's a guy that's been a little slow to develop. He's older, and I'd be concerned, frankly, to just say, well, I signed him this week, and he'll be ready to go next week once I give him the playbook on Thursday and we practice on Friday. This is a weird offseason, so I'd be very, very concerned with that. And that's why I think Roth would be a good fit, because I think he's played in the Mangini scheme, played in the Saban scheme, probably would be able to acclimate himself to the defense to where he could help you. I'm not sure there's a lot of guys that can. I also would be looking for a corner. I haven't done enough research on the corners, but I think I would be looking for a true veteran slot corner.
Slot.
Because I have concerns about the whole
yep.
battle it out for the slot job. I think they have good corners. I'm not sure they have a good slot corner. I'd be looking for a slot corner.
Eric, you got anything to add to that with your research?
No, I like what he said about... Excuse me, you got me in mid
Sorry.
Mid-sentence there.
He's got a mouthful.
A
food, people. I don't know what you're thinking.
I don't know.
Why are you reading from a newspaper?
Because this is our free agent wish list that we already
put
together.
Who put that together?
We did.
Who's we?
PFW.
Me. Was I involved?
And you.
Was it a Tuesday?
Yes.
Oh, cookies.
I'm not
How does
so
your
sure.
mouth get full again?
Because I was having my pizza here. My good pizza that Paul is jealous of.
Does that have basil on it?
Yes, it does.
Ugh.
He was here Tuesday.
I didn't know what basil tasted like until my wife grew some and put it in a salad. It is horrendous.
Not at all.
It is
disgusting. You don't know what you're talking about.
Where's this pizza from?
Grande.
Oh, you got it from... I don't recognize the box.
We got generic pizza boxes from? Today.
What? Where's this pizza from?
Yeah. But it's a generic box. There's nothing on the box.
Eric will take any box he can get.
Nah. Oh, the nice. Good Kevin.
Well done.
Quick on the draw there. Nice job.
Soon he'll just be known as Kevin.
I'm not ready to go all in on getting an extra cornerback, though. I'd like to see what some of these young guys can do, not just Dowling, but I'd like to give the benefit of the doubt to Kyle Arrington, who proved himself rather well, I thought, last year, capable as an outside corner starter. I'd like to see what he can do a little bit more. I don't know if they necessarily want to go after a cornerback in free agency. I think the other ones are appropriate, though, the outside linebacker. Not as in love with Matt Roth as Andy and Paul have been.
I got a new name to throw in the mix there.
Love is...
You loved him. You've been talking about him.
I love the fit.
Right.
And I think he'll end the year with 3 sacks, 42 tackles, maybe 1 interception.
Rob Ninkovich.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind adding another Rob Ninkovich.
The depth at outside linebacker. I am not comfortable with the personnel you have there.
I'm okay with that if we can get somebody who's starter worthy. If you can get another Rob Ninkovich for depth, that's fine.
He started for two teams in the league. I don't know how. I mean, that's more than Rob Ninkovich. He started.
He has
two
a better
teams.
Resume than Ninkovich did when he came here, no question.
Ninkovich was a Jag who was hoping to win a job as a long snapper.
But I'm looking for something more than that.
Me too. You're not getting it this year, so you have to take what you can get. Beggars can't be choosers.
Well, I'm looking for a guy like maybe Jason Babin, somebody who is a little bit more proven, who could maybe
who's a 1 year wonder in a 4-3.
Matt Roth.
He's not more proven in the 3-4.
Matt Roth has arguably had a better career than Jason Babin.
You think so?
He's a 1 year wonder.
Jason Babin had one good year.
Who'd be learning a position in 2 weeks. Well, that's not
proven.
There's
no question. Last year, Babin was a better player. No question. But for the majority of their careers, Roth's numbers were better. I want to throw a name into the mix. Not a great fit because he's been a 4-3 guy. We talked about him on Tuesday. Ray Edwards. I keep hearing a lot about Ray Edwards. I don't know if it makes any sense to take a guy, I think, who has two major strikes against him. Number one, as I said, he's been a 4-3 guy. I don't know if he can play stand-up outside linebacker. And we've tried that with some guys with varying to no success with Derek Burgess and guys like that. And they even had, in Burgess's case, some experience playing standing up in a 3-4. So I don't like that. And I also don't like the fact that on a really solid defensive line, he was the fourth best player with Jared Allen and the two Williamses inside, Kevin and Pat.
It sounds like another Adalys Thomas type thing.
Well, anybody who listened to the Thursday show with Andy and Lindsay heard this exact discussion about Ray Edwards and why he wouldn't be a good fit as a Patriot.
Okay, so
add in the fact that he's also going to make some money. Somebody's going to give him some money, so if you want him, you'll have to overpay.
Yeah, I don't know how much money he's going to get, but you're right. He's probably going to get more money.
He's going to get $5 million a year.
Probably more money than the Patriots are going to be willing to spend. But I have heard that name kicked
around
a lot.
8 sacks as the fourth best. If you're living in the shadow of three other guys, I want more than 8 sacks. Because you're coming here, there's no shadow. Yeah. You become the shadow-er.
You butcher those every time. But I agree with your overall premise. If you're the guy that's not getting a lot of attention paid, you should get more sacks. Right. Robert Mathis gets every bit as many sacks as Dwight Freeney. So if you're really that good on the other side, when the other side's getting most of the attention, you should dominate.
Right. You know, we were talking about that James Harrison picture. Josh writes in, he goes, you guys do realize that the photo of James Harrison for the article is based on the title Hitman in the video game movie bearing the same name. Not defending it, just noting that he did not make up the photo idea on his own.
Doesn't matter.
He's got a picture here, and it's the guy's got the two guns crossed over his chest. So,
but he agreed to pose for it.
Right.
Yeah. You know what? But I step back a little bit on the criticism.
Yeah, I don't.
That being the case.
I don't, because he could have said, no, that wouldn't be appropriate.
Well,
given
you really
my
think that he's going to
have
that type of, you know.
No, that's my point.
Yeah.
He can still make Hitman illusions. He could have worn pink and black tights and put his hands out like Bret the Hitman Hart, and it would have been an illusion some other Hitman.
Yeah.
He chose to do the one that uses guns and guns that are preferred by the...
Well, did he or did the
he's a big boy.
He agreed
to
do it.
He says yes or he says no.
Right. I know, but was it his idea? Probably.
It doesn't matter.
I think it does.
No, it doesn't. Come on. You're an adult. You pose for the picture. Brady had a goat. It was his decision. James Harrison had a gun. Yeah. It was his decision. Both say something about the person.
My guess is it wasn't his idea, but it's his decision. It ultimately
was about Brady, Andy.
It's his responsibility.
He's the greatest of all time. Goat. Thank you.
In regards to the Harrison comment, this is John who writes in about the commish. If it was a limited occurrence, I would say there should be no repercussions involved. However, based on the track record of his statements, I do think that once the lockout ends, there should be some repercussion. Not necessarily fining him right off, but a warning that he is high profile because of the history he has with the league, and he represents the image of the league regardless of the current lockout status. The ownership and players represent the league as a whole, and that image needs to be upheld. If it was any other business and the contract workers were making comments that were potentially detrimental to the company, there would be consequences. The industry doesn't matter. If you are part of a partnership, it is the job of both parties to uphold the image of the entity involved in Harrison making comments and accusations isn't doing that. So,
Fred,
yeah,
I think he understands that point, which is why he's doing what he's doing.
Yeah,
he's trying to make his own counterpoint.
He understands that fine. He doesn't need to be told that. That's why he's doing this. He's trying to, back to the goat, he's trying to get the commissioner's goat by
I think he could care less. I mean, I think
giving him a warning won't do anything.
I think he would do it even more. He's the kind of guy that the more you tell him, the more he's going to go against you.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think he would do this if he didn't have his big contract already? How to the core is this? Because I think it's a lot easier once you already have your $20 million signing bonus to be a badass and say whatever I want.
I think he would, but maybe I'm, you know, I think
he would.
I
don't think he would.
I don't think he
would.
I think
he's smarter than that.
I think he would feel it, but I think he would think, I'm gonna sabotage my career if I do.
I'll wait till I...
Now he's got his money, and I don't think he figures the hell with him.
You better watch it, though, because there is, you know, the whole clause in all these contracts where if it's too bad, you start losing bonus money and all that stuff. So you better watch it. There is a line that he can cross.
Mm-hmm.
Mark in Nova Scotia, we're talking about, you know, Harrison criticizing Polamalu maybe offhandedly. And he says that, this is Mark saying, Logan Mankins had issue with Polamalu being dirty after he gave Tom Brady a cheap shot after a QB sneak last year. This is from the Globe. Things between Mankins and Polamalu got a little hairy following Tom Brady's three-yard QB sneak for a touchdown in the third quarter, with Mankins making his presence felt to Polamalu in the pileup. Pushing and shoving between the teams then ensued. Mankins wasn't pleased and took matters into his own hands. We don't care how long your hair is. We're not going to let you do what you want to our quarterback, said Mankins after the game. Mankins acknowledged the Steelers were talking some trash and that the game turned a bit chippy. I remember that. Remember Brady was kind of like already on the ground.
Yeah.
He had crossed the goal line and Polamalu came in a little late.
It's a good example.
Yep.
Of what I think Harrison's probably alluding to. You know, James Harrison's not the only guy in the league that plays like James Harrison does. There's a lot of guys that play like that. He seems to be the guy.
He plays it up.
Really in the spotlight in terms of the punishment. To me, I think he was.
But he doesn't do himself any favors the way he handles it.
God no.
He makes it worse.
I couldn't agree more with the premise that the man is certifiably insane. And to me, and I said this to you guys. I didn't see this at all yesterday. Today, when I was reading some of the stories, I saw his comment that he would rather be hit in the head than the knee.
He knows he's got nothing to lose there.
I think the man is completely and totally insane. I mean, that's the babblings of an absolute moron.
Ravings of a madman.
All the other things he said, you can sit there and say, how can you say that? How stupid is that comment? How could he possibly say the things that he said about Goodell? How can he possibly rip his own teammates that he shares a locker room with? Why is he bringing up Spygate 7 years later? None of them, to me, even compares to the lunacy of saying I would rather be hit in the head than the knee, because a knee injury is life-threatening.
Fred, maybe Andy,
that's what he said.
Maybe Andy and James Harrison can get their professional help together. Although Harrison probably needs a lot more different type than Andy does. He's not amused.
And he's just looking
at
Aaron.
There's that lack of
comedic. Andy's about to go James Harrison on me.
Do you need a five-hour energy, Andy?
No, I'm good.
You're kind of
I had a five-hour
tapering
cookie.
Off a
you're
little
lethargic.
Bit.
You need your post-lunch nap?
I'm fine. Hey, is anybody out there familiar with Narragansett Beach? Because I'm thinking of going there tomorrow. Any tips?
I thought I gave you the...
I'm not listening to you. You don't go there.
That's tips. He wants to know tips.
You said you don't
go to
Narragansett
Beach. Not whether they
have nice... You said you go to some other
beach. I have been to it, but I prefer the other beaches in Narragansett.
Right. No one goes there? It's too crowded?
It's not good enough for
Eric.
Yeah.
Yogi. Snobby with his beaches.
So, if anyone has any tips...
He wishes he had more beaches.
Any tips for Narragansett Beach, you can write
Life is a beach.
Oleg from the Ukraine
writes
in. He says, a couple questions. Would you pick Ray Lewis over Gerard Mayo to play linebacker for the Patriots next season for 1 year only?
Next year.
That is a tremendous question.
That is a good question. Yes.
I missed it.
Would you take Ray Lewis over Gerard Mayo on this team for 1 year?
Yes.
Paul loves Ray Lewis. Too.
Now, I wouldn't obviously do that. I wouldn't make that swap. I wouldn't say, I'm going to let Gerard Mayo go this year as a free agent because he's going to make money.
No,
I'll bring in Ray Lewis.
That's why he said it.
I wouldn't do that. But if I had 1 year, one season to be the best team I could be, yes, I would make that move.
Also, Oleg says, I keep hearing about players that didn't play well for other
teams.
No
one else answered it.
Yes, we did.
Thinking.
I said yes.
I didn't answer.
You
I'm
weren't
thinking.
Listening. You were paying attention to your iPhone.
Let me rephrase that. Andy didn't answer it yet.
The football mind on the show is yet to answer.
Yes. You played at Tufts. You're a linebacker. You're an expert.
So what are you saying?
That and offensive linemen that are over the hill.
Now, is this a real world question or a...
No. Just answer it.
Playing the role of Fred.
Taking the fun out of the game.
What do you mean, real world? It's a
hypothetical. Gerard Mayo knows the defense, knows his teammates.
That's a factor.
I would take Gerard Mayo.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay.
Plus...
He's in brain surgery.
Dr. Galea is in jail, so I'm not sure how Ray Lewis is going to play next year.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
You're bringing all kinds of factors into the game.
That's why I asked if it was a real-world question or just
obviously it's not hypothetical. Real-world is Dr. Galea's in jail. I don't know if Ray Lewis is going to be any good next year. That's a real-world element to this argument.
Father Time could catch up.
That's a real-world argument. At one of these years, he's going to be done.
I'm saying Dr. Galea could take away the scooter that's been allowing Ray Lewis to avoid Father Time chasing him.
It's valid.
Thank you, Fred.
Listen, at one point, he's going to be done. I don't know if it's going to be
I think that's a virtual certainty. He will not play forever.
No, but I'm saying he's going to play football and not be anywhere near Ray Lewis.
Right.
And when that day comes, Paul, it's going to be a disaster. And I was right.
Will he go into
broadcasting? Because you've seen the crime rate rise.
Can a guy with a murder allegation go into broadcasting? Because he'd be good in broadcasting, aside from the murder issue.
I love how we have to you know, offer that disclaimer every time. You know, right. Aside of the murder issue.
He seems very likable aside from that.
I like him. Yeah. I like him, and I didn't always feel that way.
Oleg also says, I keep hearing about players that didn't play well for other teams, but when they came to the Patriots, they played really well and thrived in our system. Can you name some other players that didn't play well for the Patriots, but after leaving the Patriots, thrived in another system? And P.S., Fred, please give Andy a break. He will try harder next time.
That didn't play well for the Patriots, but played well elsewhere. I don't know if I have an example of that. I've had guys that have played well for the Patriots and got elsewhere and played well, but...
Fred's example would be Robbie Gould.
Dave Thomas would never have had a chance.
Dave Thomas,
I think, would be the closest you could get. All the other guys would be young guys that just didn't make, like Robbie Gould.
Yeah.
Ted Larson was starting for the Bucs last year, although I couldn't tell you if he's any good or not. He started at guys that didn't really make it with the Patriots. Dave Thomas had a couple of years to sort of make an imprint here in New England, and he went to New Orleans, not a star by any means.
But no, but caught some passes, part of an offense.
He had a role.
It's a very good question because, you know, like Matt Castle, well, he did play well here, and then you could say he's played well at Kansas City.
Yeah, most of the guys that have gone on to have success in other teams had success in New England.
Right.
And most of the ones that sort of petered out, you know, Rohan Davey and Kevin O'Connell, they've done nothing.
Chad Jackson's
done nothing. Bethel Johnson did nothing.
Lawrence Maroney
did nothing. Considered one of the worst, one of the 10
least,
worst?
Least,
yeah, worst players, least
productive.
I don't know, but he was 15 spots behind Darius Butler, who I think was, I think that's a little
least valuable.
Unfair. Least valuable,
yeah, that's what
I think.
It was. The 100 least valuable players 25. In football? 25 they only did?
By Bill Bidwell or Barnwell?
Barnwell.
Bidwell's actually in football, right?
Yeah, he's the owner of the Cardinals.
Well, that's actually...
I don't know who has more credibility.
That's actually Saul's topic. He writes in...
Gittleman?
From the 619 area code. He says, I'd like to start by saying the bobble in the head show wasn't half as bad as everyone was saying.
Thank you, Saul.
It was as bad as everybody said. I'll be honest and say that
Andy wasn't at his best, but Andy at 50% is still better than some of the other fill-ins at 100%. That said, I was wondering...
Suck it!
Just so you know, Andy wasn't a fill-in.
Right.
No, I was filling in. I'm not a host. You know, if you ask Brady to play linebacker, he's not going to be Tom Brady. He's Tom Brady in his position.
He'd probably try, though.
I did try.
Wow.
Fred, I have ADD. I get
he'd
too excited.
Try.
I just was overwhelmed with the technology in front of me.
Oh, yeah, I know.
No
it's
one
so
showed me how to. I didn't know if it was live,
oh,
if it was
please.
Air, if it was drop.
Please. Please.
Even Rachel's looking at you like, really? Is he really trying to go with that excuse?
No. I put her on the spot, and she was still trying to find some sound bites to play.
That said, I was wondering if you had seen ESPN's 25 least valuable players. This is a kind of response to their top 100 countdown. 10 is Darius Butler. Do you think this is accurate at all? I would say Butler took a step back last year, but to say he is a huge bust right now is a little over the top. What are your thoughts?
Plus, to say he's the least valuable.
I disagree with both. I think you could easily say he's a bust, but he hasn't. He hasn't done anything to be least valuable. Lawrence Maroney has played and failed. Darius Butler started a game and played in parts of another one. Right? I mean, I kind of think it's a stretch to have him in the top 10 of that list. I just don't think he's played enough. But I think you could call, I mean, it was a second round pick. I think you can call him a bust.
Yeah, I think
not
it's a,
yet. I mean, the year three jump
you
is
let
what
me know.
I'm looking for.
Can you call Rob Gronkowski a great pick? I can. Yeah. I don't need to see more.
Well, but
played 1 year.
If he plays that 1 year and doesn't have a year like that.
Exactly.
So you got to
just answer my question for me.
No, but for
I'm with Fred.
But
if you play well, you're automatically great. If you play badly,
for any of these, you have to wait for his, you know, to see what happens. You know, you can't.
How long?
Few years, 3-4 years.
Okay, all right. Well,
you know, we all think that Gronkowski's on the road to greatness, but we'll see.
I don't need to wait.
No.
I mean, I'm not going to guarantee
Butler's a bust. Can't play in the league.
No, I think he's a bust of a pick. He might turn out to be a serviceable player, but I don't think he's going to be as good as his draft status. I don't think he's going to live up to that. Like,
I mean,
William McGinnis wasn't a bust.
To me, if he's a rotational
fourth overall pick, you call him a bust.
Right. But if it, to me, as the 41st pick in the draft or whatever he was, if he's a rotational corner, if he plays, if he's one of your top three or four corners for 3 years.
Yeah, but right
now,
he's not even that.
No. But I'm just saying, then he's not a bust.
Right.
Me. I don't think that 41st pick, you assume you're getting a Pro Bowl.
I think the best he'll be is a depth guy. I don't think he'll be a rotational player if everybody's
then he's
healthy.
A bust. Second round pick who isn't in the mix is a bust.
And I say that.
Tyrone Wheatley.
I want to go in. Bust.
Well, it's way more of a bust, though,
yeah,
because he never did as much as Butler has done.
I just want, in full disclosure here,
Terrence Wheatley.
I missed badly.
Oh, yeah, Tyrone.
I missed badly on.
He was a bust too, right?
He was a bust. Right. Running back for the Raiders, Michigan. Yeah.
I don't know. Through 2 years,
I just think it's
Butler
a weird
had
list.
Some moments at the end of his rookie year, I guess.
Longest interception in the NFL, right?
I haven't given up on him.
Caught a deflection.
I still haven't given up on Lawrence Maroney.
In a JV game.
That was good. Except you did a couple times along the way when
I
you
have,
got angry.
I have
at him.
Given up on
chastised
on
him.
Sir Lawrence.
Well, every once in a while you forget who was actually still on the team and not, and then you do go back and forth.
I feel bad for him.
But I missed
Butler.
I like
Butler.
I don't think
he has the ability to help himself.
But why do you feel bad?
I feel bad for him.
But look at it this way. He got to the NFL. He was a first-round pick. He made some money. He did Reebok. He had fun. He lived a good life.
I just
because he didn't...
And he ain't dead.
No, exactly. Now he can go off into the sunset, get a job. It's not a tragedy that he didn't become a 10,000-yard rusher in the NFL.
Cole in Waterloo, Iowa says, "You guys are great. Your show helps me get through the workday. My question is, what is an item that you would like to see added to the CBA? I would like to see rosters expanded by 3 to 5 players. Also, what do you think about the NFL having a disabled list? A player with a significant injury
early
in the year
I
can go
see
on
that.
The list for 8 to 10 games and not take up a roster spot. I would like to see one or the other."
I like both. Disabled list?
I like the DL.
Add three players, one must be a fullback.
Well, I think they're kind of both the same.
Brings a lot to the game.
I think if you're saying that you're adding a disabled list, you're in essence adding roster spots.
Right.
So it's one and the same.
Yeah, but I want the fullback active.
I like that. I like the idea of a
short-term injury.
Like a sick, like maybe you make it a minimum of 4 weeks or 5 weeks or something like that.
Sure.
So there's not that playing with the roster in terms of matchups and things like that, but there should be a limit to the amount of guys you can have on active IR. You know, you can't just put like 11 guys on active IR and monopolize half the league without really playing. I think, you know, you have to have some modifications, some stipulations there. But I like that idea, and I also would like to see the abolition of the franchise tag.
Okay. A few weeks ago, we were talking about funny names for English pubs and places, and Ross in London says, "Good to have you all back together, even Andy. On a podcast
Suck
a month
it.
Ago, you were talking about funny English places, names, and pubs. A very funny show, even with the juvenile humor, but everyone but Andy is suddenly too good for." Well, ooh.
talking
last week.
That's a shot at all of us except for Andy.
Right.
That's,
well, last week.
Because I'm true to myself.
Right. Last week, I was on a jolly. With some work colleagues.
Wait, what's a jolly?
What did he say?
I mean, he's like kind of going out for a good time, I guess. I was on a jolly with some work colleagues after a conference in London, and walking down Great Portland Street in the center of town, we happened upon a pub called...
Paul and I walked down that street.
We happened upon a
and
pub
every other one in London.
The Cock. Being a child myself, I decided to snap a couple of pictures of the place, much to the disapproval of my workmates. So here you go. One of them is a placard that says, The Cock, making people smile for over a century.
Eric, go ahead over. I know you like to check out the
but
cock.
But he said that...
No, that's Fred. He's the one that goes and looks up junk on the internet.
He said the
internet
place smelled
the
a bit. So that's there's a place that
cock.
Doesn't even like try to quantify it. They just, right out there, they just call it.
I'm assuming they have a rooster logo.
Yeah, of course. Maybe. What do you think? They have like a penis?
What do you think? They're that fly fishing shirt that Fred has? Orvis or whatever that is?
Oh, God.
That's it. We're just going full in. We're having a penis for a
while. Of course it's a rooster.
Paul just spit on the floor.
Eric's like, well, it's a rooster.
He just goes, what do you think? It's a penis.
Is that what he sent the picture of? Their
they
logo
have a sign?
Yeah, the sign. Yeah. That
you
is
should know I got a little wiener.
There seems to be a lot more of them over there than here, right?
What, cocks?
The cock is big over there?
Be serious.
No, you're not.
No, I mean, do those exist
in
the U.S.?
What you
there
were
a lot of
for.
Cock
what?
And take.
Pubs?
Cock and, yeah. And take. Cock and take.
There
yeah.
are?
Yeah. They erect the sign and then...
wait, what did you ask if there... Wait, what? What did you ask if there were more of?
Are there a lot of...
Cock and bull and all
yeah,
that stuff?
Yeah, in the
yes.
U.S.
Yes.
Seems like there's more. All
I,
those
I
ones they sent in were over
I ate at the Cock and Bull.
You ate
a couple weekends ago.
I can't even say it again.
Yeah, this is so much better than when I was with Lindsay.
Well, we're laughing. We're not giving you the awkward silence.
At least we had a girl to talk about the cock. Rachel, you want to join in?
He's trying to be he's trying to be serious.
Yeah.
Notice how he says,
right?
Like he's whispering it. It'll make it even better.
What do you think? The signs of a penis.
Yeah, we
hung up on that line.
I don't know
really
why.
That really struck a nerve with Paul.
I just like the way he delivered it. It was great.
Yemi from Texas. I'm surprised by Eric's criticism of Harrison. Isn't he a Republican? Shouldn't he
support... No, I'm not. Never have been. Never will be. Idiot.
Shouldn't he support Harrison's Second Amendment right? I don't have
a
problem
Lincoln Democrat,
with Harrison's pose for that reason.
Called log cabin Republicans.
Well, see, no, but Yemi, this is where I disagree with Yemi.
Wait a minute. I
knew where you
email.
Were going with it, though.
I'm missing the email.
Yeah, I see. I disagree with Yemi there. I do support his Second Amendment right for freedom of speech, but I think the pose is what I have a problem with. You know, because that is clearly
why he's a
poser. Sending,
but
know.
Nobody, you lose your right of free speech when you join certain organizations.
True.
He can go, if he wants to leave the NFL, he can call Roger Goodell anything he wants.
Well,
but if you want to work in the NFL, you say certain things. You yeah. follow by the standard if you want your $20 million.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though. First Amendment is the freedom of speech. Yeah, Second Amendment is the right to bear arms.
Oh, is that right? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. You're right.
I wonder if he was talking about both.
So I think he was, he might have been talking about both, but.
Yeah.
It's the image thing that the league is, and he's doing this on purpose because he knows.
I
that,
agree.
That
I totally agree.
Which is why I wonder if they shouldn't fine him and just let it go away rather than fuel him.
This is what he wants.
The more they fine him, the more he'll do
it. Yeah.
You think?
It'll keep snowballing and.
Yeah. And I also think even though I fell on the side of Fred with the fine and all that, I do think you sort of forfeit your First Amendment rights. You can't say anything.
Right.
I mean, it's freedom of speech, but, you know, the old cliche, right. You can't, you know, yell fire
right.
in a crowded theater.
Right.
I mean, you can't, there's certain things you can't say.
Right.
There are also, like, certain things
I mean,
we say on this
get...
show that we couldn't say upstairs,
but
you know,
just...
to
I mean,
to
if
women
you can
find
office. Kobe Bryant for saying a homosexual slur to an official on the bench in the heat of a game, you can certainly find James Harrison for
point.
What he said.
But yeah, I do think, though, that is different than your opinion. Of another person, you know, he didn't.
I don't think he necessarily should get fined. I will not shed a tear if he gets fined. Let's state that. I think the guy's he's a moron. But I don't necessarily think he should be fined. But I don't see much of a distinction between what you're saying.
Let me ask you this, Fred. If somebody in this organization said what Harrison said about the commissioner. About our owner, would you feel differently?
Should he be fined by the owner? Or no.
Well, should something happen to that person, you know, should there be some sort of disciplinary action taken against that person?
Well, probably, but it's a little different.
See, I don't think so.
Because you're a direct employee of owner.
You mean a player?
A player or any one of us.
You know, I don't
think anything should happen to a player.
You're a direct employee.
For us, it's a little different.
Yeah, you're a direct employee of the person.
So are the players.
Not really. I mean, he's the commissioner of the league, and you're a member of the
union. No, I'm saying the players are direct employees of the owner of this team.
Oh, if a player says it. Yeah, I think that's written into their contract that you can't say things like that.
So their freedom of speech gets taken away at that point.
But they signed away that. They agreed to that.
Right. They sold it, basically.
Yeah.
But they also agree, implicitly, if not directly, to follow the rules that the league puts forth. And so, if the league says that there's a certain image that we want our players to have,
right,
there's a certain level of conduct we expect from them,
yep,
you're supposed to agree to that if you are
an
NFL player.
And did this reach to that level?
I think it, yes, I think it crossed the line.
Was conduct detrimental to the league?
Yeah.
You're talking about what he said or the picture?
I think the picture is more so.
The picture is more so,
but
I think they're both. I think they both go over the line.
You think the criticism of the commissioner comes to that level?
Crosses the line, yes.
Detrimental to the league.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't. But I could clearly understand if that's the path the league chose. Like, I don't think you guys are out of your mind. I don't see it that way.
It's a good discussion.
If the league chose to say, you know what, we got to put a stop to this because of the reasons you just said, I could see that. But using your argument about the players, do you think that Robert Kraft would have been within his rights, not whether or not you think he should or shouldn't have, but within his rights to fine Logan Mankins last year for calling him a liar? Flat out called him a liar.
Do I think he was in his rights to do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he
could. Because I don't.
Been.
Yeah, and I don't want to put words in Mr. Kraft's mouth, but some of the response he had to that was, you have to do business all around the world, and if I am dubbed a liar, you're hurting me.
Right.
Just like if you're the commissioner and you're dubbed
if you're slandered,
one of the boys and you're on the take and you're this or whatever and that, you're hurting me and the league.
I mean, that's almost cause for a slander lawsuit.
So did Logan
Mankins somebody was that
hurt that?
You know, offended by
or
it.
Or did
they
the
could
action
say,
Michael
that
he did hurt
got knocked off the Bruins?
Well, you have to prove that he lied, to be a liar.
For doing what?
For calling
Jeremy Jacobs
a thief and a liar.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Really hurt him.
Yeah.
Right. And from that point on, he zoomed right past me in my on the Herald desk. And
speaking of that, 98.5 ratings just came out, and they killed EEI.
I maintain it, Andy. Ever since Andy and Paul started going on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah,
it's true.
You're
not going to be doing that anymore,
Anthony
though.
From Naples was on the line before,
pre-game,
and he
right?
gave up, but now he's back. So let's go to the phone lines. Hey, Anthony, how you doing?
Thanks, Fred.
You're welcome, Anthony.
Geez, what was that about? Why are you going to bash me like that?
I didn't bash you. I said you were on the line before and I didn't get to you. So now
yeah,
I'm
yeah, you were kind of condescending. You're like, he gave up before.
Oh, jeez. All right.
You didn't have to wait that long on the Bobble and the Head show.
These sensitive males. We should all be reading Men's Journal.
Oh, stop it. I'm only kidding, too. But you know what? I got to defend you, Andy.
Yeah.
I honestly don't understand how this is all your fault.
Thank you.
I will say this. You did crap your pants.
Boom.
You know, you can just tell.
He does that on a good day.
I don't know how that's relative to the show or the performance.
But you could see it was like getting away from you in the beginning. I actually listened to the first part of the show. I only could take about 30 minutes, and it started unraveling. And you kept on going with joke after joke after joke. Like, and it was insane. You just let it go. But I will tell you this though, Lindsay was a bore, and she didn't give you much.
That's a bore. She didn't give me anything in case my wife's listening.
Beaver City.
So I have to defend you on that one. But as it comes to this Harrison thing, and that's really why I'm calling, come on, guys. The commissioner is like a boss. Would you have your job the next day if you said this stuff about your boss?
No, but a player would. A player wouldn't get fired for that.
This
is my whole point. It's not the same thing.
I don't know.
The player is making millions and millions of dollars for the organization. I'm not. So I can be replaced.
Speak for yourself.
But that's life. It's not fair. But that's life. Different rules for different people. I'm sorry, but that's society. Some people are in a position to be able to do things that others can't.
You know what though? I think he should fine him then. You know, because it's just like it's ridiculous. You don't have people acting like that in your workplace. You just don't. To me, it's insane. Like he's a knucklehead. We all know that. And you know what? Maybe the only way to shut up that knucklehead is keep on finding him. You want to keep talking? Keep finding him. That's what you can do. So
well, that seems to be what he wants to do. That seems to be what Harrison wants.
It does have a little bit of that when you're getting grounded and you keep talking. Mm-hmm. And now it's 2 weeks. You want to go for three? You want to go for four here?
Right.
That kind of a mentality.
But eventually Harrison's going to lose that fight because there's not going to be enough. He's not going to have enough money to pay all these fines.
He's not bigger than the commissioner. He's not bigger than the league. He is a player who's talented. That's it.
I think they were talking about this before when they were talking about these, the fine system. Really, the only thing that's going to start making a dent on these guys is the suspension.
Oh, that was
because
Rodney.
That's when that's when you start hurting your teammates and your team, and so that's what would have to escalate to, mm-hmm. not just fines.
Yeah, and I almost feel like he's a bit of a, as you say, a pote by doing this
and all that.
I do say that
and all that.
But like he's doing this while there's no collective bargaining agreement because he knows he's not going to get fined right now. So he might have an argument if he goes.
Well, he doesn't know that, Anthony.
What's that?
He doesn't know that for sure. When the lockout's over, the commissioner could decide to fine him. He doesn't know for sure that that's not going to happen.
No, I know that. I agree with you, Eric. I'm saying that like nobody really knows for sure if he's going to get fined or not, mm-hmm. or if it will hold up because it was under. Well, I was technically not an employee at that time. I was locked out.
I don't think that had any impact on why he did. I think he'd have done this anytime. I think that man's insane.
But I think he's doing it more on purpose because of what happened to him last year.
Yeah,
getting all those fines.
Not because of the lockout, though.
No,
not
personal.
Because he doesn't think he's going to have
it's personal.
Right.
Personal vendetta.
If he didn't
have
the
vendetta,
like
I don't know if he would do it.
He feels like he's been personally persecuted.
Right.
Whether or not he's right is irrelevant. That's how he feels. Right.
And he doesn't care if there's any repercussions against him.
Nope.
He does not care.
That's my point. He would have done this if there was lockout, no lockout, CBA.
That's why I was asking the money thing, though.
Thanks
would he do it
call,
if he didn't
Anthony.
Have money?
That, I think, is valid. Now he's got, 50-something million?
Well, at least
one
20
of the largest, one of the largest defensive contracts in the history of the game.
He's got enough.
It's a little bit easier to sit there and say, you want 2 weeks? I'll give you, you want three?
Yeah.
It's easier to say that. You know, what are they going to fine him? $100,000? $500,000 at max? You know, I mean, that's a lot of money, and I'm sure that it would be a shocking fine, but he can pay it.
Tom is out of the George Washington Law School. He says, I started thinking about this issue, the lockout player personal conduct violations, a few months back when Brandon Merriweather's name came up in the alleged shooting incident, and it seems relevant in light of Harrison's recent comments. My question is, if there is no league and the players are locked out, doesn't that mean that anything the players do during the lockout is off limits for league discipline? If there is no NFL, then there can't be a personal conduct policy for the players to violate. Do you think that after the lockout, the league can or will take action against the players for the conduct during this period? If so, do you think this is something they can legally do? While I find Harrison's comments offensive and don't approve of some of the player conduct during the offseason, I don't think the league should be able to subsequently judge that conduct against a new standard that they establish after the fact. Great job with the show, the website, and the blog, guys. Your analysis and commentary make law school that much more bearable.
Well, isn't there a chance that this is collectively bargained? One of the fine points when they finish this agreement?
They can go retroactively and look at things.
Because enough stuff has happened between Hines Ward.
Yep.
There were even front office personnel that got in trouble down in Tampa. Different things going on. Enough stuff's happened that somebody might say, hey, are we disciplining these guys for anything that's been done?
Right, because it's a formality that they're not employees right now.
Right.
They're all still employees.
See, I think they should be subject to any and all of the same discipline because the NFL hasn't gone away.
Right.
There's currently no CBA.
Right.
But the league hasn't.
But they're not technically employees.
The league hasn't been abolished.
But it's more of a formality than an actuality.
But I think you're right, Andy.
Finality.
Not only are they going to probably, but that was part of, I think, the bargaining anyway.
Yeah.
Was league discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And what the players, I think the players were fighting about, what exactly can you fine me for and suspend me for? And this whole, authoritarian leadership by Goodell. You know, I think that was part of the bargaining to start with. So I'm sure that guys that have been in trouble in the last 5 months are going to want to know, well, what right do you have to issue me another fine when you locked us out?
right?
I'm fine with the commissioner having the ability to
do whatever he wants. I am too.
I put that under my same as my football thing. Unnecessary roughness off the field. Mm-hmm. And if I see you do something off the field I don't like, I can deal with it.
In general, I think Goodell does a good job with that. I liken it all the time to David Stern in the NBA, who I don't like and I don't really have a ton of respect for. But, you know, that whole thing that he responded with, the whole dress code and all that conduct, I think that's good stuff. I think you need that. Yeah. And I have no problem with one guy in an authority figure coming down and saying, yeah, I don't need a committee to vote and pass these things. I'm going to make a judgment on this. We need more of that.
And both had reached a breaking point. The Stern thing was right after that All-Star weekend when Allen Iverson showed up with essentially gangsters
it was getting out of hand.
And guns and all that. And in the NFL, I mean, it had reached a point where Florio had a turd watch. I mean, that was how big an issue all these off-the-field domestic violence, drunken driving had been, that everybody was noting how often they were coming. Both had reached their breaking point.
Right. Josh from Waterloo says, I'd just like to point out the Eric quote he said about Andy. He stopped evolving at age 12, mentally anyway, describing Andy's behavior. This was only
I didn't hear him say that to me.
I didn't hear him say that.
This was only few minutes after he informed us that Lindsay will now be known as Four Eyes because she wears glasses.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that, however.
Oh, and I'm the immature one. A girl said ew to him, and he's Four Eyes. I don't like her anymore.
Just so you know, I ripped him for that one.
And, Paul, I know wives and moms are off limits, mainly because could you imagine how out of control Andy would get if we thought that was acceptable? I was trying to take a rocket shot at Kevin saying how attractive his girlfriend is and how unattractive he is. Let's be honest, we are all playing above the rim here. Well,
except
one of
Eric.
Us is still sitting on the bench singing John Fogerty's Center Field to himself. You know that one, Put Me in Coach?
Yes.
Yeah. I say no to the 18-game random schedule. That's something I mentioned the other day. NASCAR tried changing a bunch of rules and lengthening the season at the height of its popularity, and now they can't even fill the stands. The game is working. Why mess with it?
Exactly.
And I like to know who we are going to be playing so we can plan vacations around it.
All good points.
Fred.
Well, most of them.
Well, you would still know.
Yeah, you'd still know in ample
time. The schedule would come out the same time.
Right.
It's not,
Right.
But Fred proposed, and I'm interested on Big Head's thoughts, not having the rotation in the schedule so you know all your opponents from year to year, but rather when that April date comes out and NFL Network has that special, you literally are finding out who you're playing the next year.
It really is an event. The season, the release of the season schedule becomes a true event because you have no idea, other than your AFC East opponents, you know, being the Patriots, you don't know who you're going to play. You know, I'm going to play a certain amount of
certainly
AFC
would make
teams,
for a
and
interesting
I'm going to play a certain amount
would
of
make
NFL.
That worthy
schedule
of an actual
unveiling.
TV
yes.
special,
right?
No question.
Yeah, I like my point that I made to Fred was I like the rotation because it ensures that you play those teams.
Yeah,
you know, especially the NFC teams that you don't see all the time. You know, you're going to get there once every 4 years. They're going to come here. I kind of like that.
And I think a rotation is fairer than randomness because by the unluckiness of the randomness, you could get the Patriots 4 years in a row.
That
in the
true.
Rotation.
Yep.
If you get the Patriots that often, you earned it because you're a first place team. And
right, the classic from Fred was, "Well, hey, don't you get you know? Then when you get stuck, you play the Colts every year." And I'm like, "What's wrong with that?"
Right.
The best.
God
game
forbid
the
we have the game that always lives up to the hype.
No, it's good.
But if you want to make it an event in April, when they announce, certainly that would make it an event, having to actually watch
the
games be pulled out. Of course, then it could be on the Fix, you know, the cold envelopes like the NBA deals with and all that.
The cold envelopes?
You never heard
that?
They freeze the Patrick Ewing envelope.
No.
That conspiracy, the very first lottery they had in the NBA, they put these square envelopes with the team logos in this, you know, clear.
Oh, when they froze one so it was colder?
Well that's the conspiracy.
You know, everybody thought
to get Ewing
Knicks,
in New York.
The Knicks were in the lottery, and Ewing was the guy that year. They had this clear, you know, bowl that they put all the things
the bingo thing.
Yeah.
So he knew which one was the
They
Knicks.
Turned it around, and the rumor was that the Knicks logo was put in a freezer, so it was freezing cold. So when Stern reached in, he grabbed the cold one. And that's how the Knicks got Patrick Ewing.
You've never heard that.
I've never heard that.
That's stunning to me.
Yeah.
That's just poor.
I've never
me.
Heard that, but I believe it. No.
I don't necessarily not believe it.
Tell you who believes it is.
That's the most crooked league out of all.
Timberwolves? Was it the Timberwolves GM who this year said it was fixed and verbally? Did he get fined?
I don't know.
He
now
thought
that
it was
you
fixed
could be
this year.
For.
Yeah, I think.
Oh, see that?
Think.
Yeah.
Well, you're saying that the league is fixed. That it's very,
so did James Harrison.
He's very
basically saying
no,
the same
didn't.
Thing.
Well, he said they didn't punish them the way they should have.
He's also,
he didn't say the game wasn't fixed.
Because
boys.
Right. He was saying that, that Goodell's has favorites and he plays them.
And he also used a guy on his own team as one of the favorites that he plays to. Polamalu.
That's still
the
not
same thing.
Yeah, but
it's not. He didn't say the game was fixed.
I think he did.
That's why you can't criticize the officials, because it offers the illusion that the games aren't on the up and up.
Well,
that's the difference.
That, he said that a number of times.
Well, I didn't really read it that way. I read that he's making fun of the way he handled Spygate. Not that the game wasn't.
He took care of his boys, which is what he does.
He didn't
he takes
punish
care
them.
Of his boys, right? Although,
so that doesn't mean the game
I would
was
argue
fixed.
He punished
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I, you know, it's tough. It's a slippery slope. If you, you know. Anyway, Steven from
if you know anyway.
Well, I don't want to
that really
we talk
it out.
About it a lot and we're coming to the end and I want to get to some more emails. That's all.
Okay.
Steven and Travis Air Force Base in California, who is a college student, he wants to let us know. Says I have some questions about the long-term future of the team. One, can Ryan Mallett succeed Tom Brady like Steve Young did for Joe Montana? That's question one.
Who knows?
I say no because I think Brady's going to be here too long.
But the other major difference is Steve Young was a proven professional. He had played in the UFL. He had been with Tampa. I could go out there. I haven't seen Ryan Mallett throw a pro football at all. I mean, they're total unknown.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing about that is he was a proven professional, but he was a bad one.
No, but you had something to go on. I have no idea what Ryan Mallett will be as a pro.
Yeah, I don't. Not for the reason that Fred says. I would just say no, because Steve Young turned out, as much as I don't like him and think he's overrated, he turned out to be a Hall of Famer. To say that Ryan Mallett's going to be even a Pro Bowler to me is unfair.
No, but could he just be the starter? I think that's all.
Right. I think that's all he's saying is
the
starting
quarterback
for
the New England
Patriots.
I think he'll be the next starting quarterback for the New England Patriots.
You think he'll be here that long?
It's only 4 years.
3 years?
Oh, you think Brady's only got 3 years left?
3 or 4 years.
I think he's
this is his last contract, in my opinion.
As a Patriot or an NFL quarterback?
No,
I think
it's
an.
Oh, okay.
So that's 4 years, correct?
Yeah, he's got 4 years left.
Yeah.
So yeah,
so when
I absolutely think
so.
Ryan
5 years
still
from now, you think Mallett was...
maybe four?
Okay,
I don't think he plays for another team.
Well, yeah, if they're not going to resign him,
you don't
trade
think Brady ever plays for another.
There's
team.
There's no doubt in my mind if they're
you
not
see,
resigning
you know,
him. They'll
I
trade
would
him.
Tend to agree with you, Eric, but having grown up and watched Joe Namath,
rooting
I could never have
team.
Seen Joe Namath play for another team but the Jets, and he did. I could never see Emmitt Smith playing for another team but the Cowboys, but he did.
Here's
you know?
The thing. Here's the thing. I think all of those guys lived for football. I don't think this guy necessarily does. I think he has more interests and has more things that he would rather do. So I don't think it would be as
you
important
might be right
to him.
There.
But
that
it
might
depends
be
when
difference.
You ask him. I think his view on that has changed like three times in the last
well, when
11
it's,
years.
When it's in
you
season,
ask him that in September.
If you ask him that during the season, he's going to say, yeah, I want to play forever. You ask him that in the offseason, he might have a different answer.
No, but he went through the phases of there's got to be more than this and all that. I think he has changed a few times kind of how
well,
he feels about the game.
Well, that's the thing. When the decision
game.
Is, do I go to another team or do I hang it up? That's where Eric might have a
right.
point.
And
know?
She has a, I mean, it'll change. I don't think he yeah. can tell you right now how old his kids will be, yeah. where they'll be. Is his kid, you know, in 5 years doing something that he wants to just be around his kid all the time? Or, who knows?
I think
or
there
his
are,
wife?
But that's why I think there are more variables in favor of Brady saying, you know what?
Sure.
My contract's up. I've made enough money. I don't need football as much as
well,
somebody else
One thing
else
I was
might.
Thinking about Brady, though, is I would want to be playing long enough so that my kid understands what I'm doing. Like right now, his kids are young, and oh, dad's a football player. But what if, you know, they're really young.
Yeah, but what if it goes
I would
the
want
other
my
way.
Kid to be at least 6, 7, 8 years old.
You don't want
Why
him
do
to,
they think
you don't
you're
want
so
him
great?
To be like Favre.
What if you throw 4 touchdowns and 20 interceptions
exactly.
that year?
Yeah, right. You don't want to be like Brett Favre.
Holy crap!
History.
My dad's overrated.
Yeah,
yeah that could go one or two.
Leave it to Andy. To
no,
take
but
that.
Seriously, that can happen.
Sure, it can. Yeah.
Exactly.
If Ray Lewis is going to get old, Tom Brady's going to get old too.
He's 34, or he'll be 34, I believe,
in
next
August.
Month.
Something yeah.
Like right.
That. Yeah.
I mean, 3 years. You're 37.
Yeah. It's up there.
I don't think he's going to be.
It's up there.
I don't buy the whole 10-year thing. I don't think he'll be playing.
Oh, from now?
I don't think he'll play when he's 40.
There's no way.
What about be a backup?
I think at the outside he's got till 40, but that's it, right?
Sure.
I mean, Testaverde lasted
till 42. If he goes
42.
Till 40, though, Fred, I don't think he's here.
Yeah, how old was Testaverde when he...
He was 40.
Finally.
But how old, 44? But how old was he when he was last a starter is
right.
the question.
Well, yeah. Right.
you know,
I don't see Brady doing that.
And you don't think Brady would ever be a backup and just hang on?
And I don't see him coming out of retirement at 42 or whatever.
I don't think I could. Certainly not here.
Yeah.
I don't know how. I mean,
oh, no, no.
Can you imagine Ryan Mallett trying to play?
Zero chance.
Number 12 on the sideline?
Zero chance. I think there's a small chance he would be willing to be a backup somewhere. Maybe he just decides when he gets to that end. But so, this is what I do. I really do love football. This is what I want to do.
You think that Ryan Mallett will not ever be the starting quarterback, barring an injury to Brady?
Right.
Wow. That's a pretty bad draft pick.
Well, not if you trade it for
a
one.
Exactly. Not if you get something for him. You know?
Depends who you are. For Belichick, it's a good pick.
Yeah.
If you're Gerard Mayo and you're trying to win a Super Bowl, it's not a great pick.
If Belichick could retire...
How do you get a number one for him if you don't play?
If Belichick...
Yeah, he plays two or three
games.
Yeah,
he has...
As he gets older, he misses games.
Right.
He plays. All of a sudden, he's Matt Schaub. He's the hot commodity, and you bamboozle somebody.
If Belichick retired tomorrow, who on the current staff would take his job? I read an article suggesting Pepper Johnson would take over.
Matt Patricia.
Dante Scarnecchia.
I'd say no one, but
Matt
Patricia.
I don't think Dante wants to be
a head coach. Nobody,
I think,
too.
I think he would on an interim basis.
Well, no, in an interim basis. But I'm talking about...
Long term?
It's not an illness.
No,
he's pulling an Andy and ruining a hypothetical.
Right. You're talking about
Dante
replacing.
Would be assistant head coach. So.
Who's the next head coach on the staff? Who's the next head coach?
Right.
It's got to be Dante or Bill O'Brien. I mean, Matt Patricia.
Patricia
or Bill
O'Brien.
And I think I would go with Andy. I think Patricia.
Okay.
But right now, I'd say neither.
No, I don't think this.
Like, if this became real.
I think if Robert Kraft was faced with that,
he'd have to go outside.
Task,
yeah.
I don't think he would stay in
house. That'd be terrible.
I agree.
How would you find a coach today?
It's tough.
What do you mean?
Well, you would call up
obviously
John Gruden.
It's tough. Yeah. This candidate.
Well,
but I mean,
Gruden would be.
Gruden
a good
would do it, and he would do it right away too.
Pat replacing Hill, Bill Belichick is.
I bring not, there might be contractual issues
yeah, but
there.
If you're John Gruden,
Nick Saban,
do you want to be the guy that succeeds Bill Belichick, or do you want to be the guy that after that?
Here's the thing. No one would want to be the guy that replaces Bill Belichick.
Right.
But I don't think Robert Kraft would ever just hire a guy
knowing that he's not the guy. Right.
To say, I'll let you suck for 2 years and then I'll hire
John
Gruden.
And then I'll hire the guy I really want. I don't think he'll do that.
Well, wait a minute. Didn't he do that?
He didn't mean to do it with Pete Carroll. That wasn't the intention.
Plus, Pete Carroll had already been an NFL head coach.
Right. But he knew how big a star Parcells was.
Right.
And he, I'm sure, knows the theory that you never want to be the guy who replaces the guy.
But that's not why he did that.
He didn't mean to.
Matter of fact, he wanted to hire Belichick at the time and didn't because he felt like he was too similar to Parcells.
Right. Too close. He needed to get away from that.
So he got the guy later that he actually wanted.
But that's the way it worked out, but he didn't hire
Pete Carroll because he didn't think Pete Carroll wasn't big enough to do it. Pete Carroll was already an NFL head coach.
Had Leon Hess not died, Belichick could have taken over the Jets if Parcells just walked away, and it wasn't like this grand scheme.
Even
that,
the way it all worked out, Bill Belichick was the head coach of the New York Jets.
Right.
He didn't have to say, this isn't right, I'm not going to do this. He could have been the head coach of the Jets.
Right. And Steven's last question.
That was how he
is,
just blurted that out. You didn't mean to.
Lastly, do you think...
But you know what my point is? I could see him hiring a John Gruden or a Bill Cowher. Not the specific guy. I'm talking about the name.
Right.
I can't see him hiring the next young, hot assistant coach unless the guy is like an enormous... I couldn't see him hiring Josh McDaniels.
Right.
Yeah, probably not.
Lastly, do you think Stadium could host a Super Bowl anytime soon?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
Hope not.
You hope not?
I don't want to see Super Bowls in cold weather places.
Yeah, I don't either.
Would we cover it?
Wait a minute. I thought, Fred, you were in favor of the New York Super Bowl.
Who said that?
I never was against that.
I don't think Fred's been a big fan.
I thought you were a proponent of that.
I've been
sure.
We have Indy this
every
year?
Time. Remember, all winter I've been saying, "Oh, let's have a Super Bowl." And remember, all winter I've been making fun of.
Where's 13? Indy this year. Next year is where?
South Florida.
South Florida, and then New York,
I think.
And then 14 is New York. Yeah. So the 13 season.
Or is it?
I tell you, no
or
matter.
Is it New Orleans?
Might be New Orleans.
Yeah. No matter what, we have a listener out there. Christine,
we're counting Super
Christine,
is sorry.
It,
is it sorry. New Orleans?
Christine lives in Narragansett.
Oh, good.
And sends me a whole bunch of info on Narragansett.
So what do you got?
Chamber
what
of Commerce.
Yeah.
And there's also a concert tomorrow night, 6 o'clock
Ooh,
at the Narragansett Gazebo.
His voice changed when he said that.
That could be traffic, though. I'm not sure that's
well,
a
I'm
going to
be out of there.
There's always
hey, do you hear about the stuff that's going to happen in L.A. over the weekend? Carmageddon. They're shutting down the 405 for
Carbon
Electra for the whole weekend.
For what?
Yeah, and
I assume they're doing work.
Jet
it's going to be closed for 53
hours. Oh, because
hours.
Of the construction.
Yeah.
JetBlue.
$4 flights
or something? Fantastic ad campaign for them. They're offering $4 flights around, like, Southern California.
Wow. Did you also hear that there's an idea for Southern California to secede? South California? Because of all the financial issues they have, and there's a plan in there
to become their own state?
Yeah, two different states.
Well, secede is different. Oh, secede from the statehood.
From the state, not from the union.
Not from the union. Although, with the money that California has, they're like
it. I didn't know that. I hadn't heard that.
They could be their own country.
Yeah.
I saw it on
And they'd be one of the biggest countries in the world, I think.
Is that right?
John in L.A. John's not in L.A. anymore, huh?
Oh, New Mexico.
Yeah.
Well,
Albuquerque?
The other John in L.A. is going to have to let us know how the travel was next week, how the travel was over the weekend, because that is miserable at all times. I can only imagine you shut down a major interstate like that.
Stay home.
All right, well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
He goes,
thanks for joining us this week, and hopefully next week we'll have some big news. I have a feeling we will, but, you know, then again, every time I say that, somebody tells me it's...
It's not as close as you think.
But other than that, we'll see you next Tuesday. Getting born in the state of Mississippi. Papa was a copper and the mama was a hippie. In Alabama, she was swinging
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.